United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
Let's go! Call to talk to Tracy and friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock, and it's good to be with you on this Tuesday here on the 14th of January 2014, and I hope you're having a great day today, have a great day planned. I know today's only Tuesday, but, you know, it's a good day because we made it. We made it another day, and I am blessed to see another day just because I woke up with the operation of my limbs and my faculties, and in my right mind, if you don't call my mind right, it's still right. So it's a good day. And so I want to say good morning to everyone. We're going to have an interesting day today. Jeff is on his way in, and I'm going to talk about some crazy stuff that I've been reading on the Internet. I'm watching the alert, news alert on Fox News, and, you know, we have television in here, and we watch the screen go by, and the little ticker tape, and it says alert. And it says, declassified documents show administration knew Benghazi was a terrorist attack. Well, can you show me rocket science today? They should have called me. I could have told them that. I could have told them that it was a terrorist attack. It wasn't hard to see the writing on the wall. I mean, you know, they don't like you. You don't like them. You created a war. You tried to cover it up. It didn't work so well. You blamed it on the video. It didn't work so well. And we all knew that. I mean, that wasn't, I mean, hello. My issue is they haven't put anybody under the scrutiny as they have been Governor Christie. I'm like, you know, poor boy Christie, you know, he looked like the little doughboy. They're trying to fire him, blow him up, and look at and use him as the poster boy for the abuse of power because he shut down a freeway. And they said that, you know, they act like, let me slow down. This is what irritates me to no end. They act like if you're a Democrat in the state and I'm a Republican and I'm the governor of the state, that I treat everybody fair and balanced. But they also act like if I'm a Democrat governor and you're a Republican mayor or a Republican area, you act like everything's fair and balanced. Can you say politics? I mean, people need to wake up and quit sipping the Kool-Aid. They need to drink some coffee in the morning and get their mind stimulated. Caffeine stimulates the mind and get people to think. Do you really think that if I'm on the opposite side of the fence, I'm going to make you look good? That's just not how it works. The dirt that goes on between the political spectrum of the two parties just on local politics is abusive. And, yeah, they do things for the good of the order and the good of the people every now and then. But they're definitely not going to make you look as though you're going to shine or outshine them. If you come out and tell me I'm not supporting you, I don't like you, you might not get invited to the Christmas party. And that's what's wrong with our political system today. For some reason, people think that everything is fair and balanced. And I just want everybody to know it's not. Hey, Matt, how are you? Can you hear me now?
Oh, I can hear you, Tracy. How are you?
I'm well.
I'm actually drinking coffee with Tracy and friends in the morning today, so I'm all excited.
Good.
Yeah.
Very
strong,
good.
Too. Very strong coffee.
You need it. You need it because for some reason America thinks that we all just got this kumbaya, symbiotic, I'ma love you. We got a Barney moment. That's what I'm going to call them, Barney moments. I love you, you love me, we're a great big family. This is politics. Are they kidding me?
Hey,
Diva. I mean, did you know that? I mean, you knew that,
morning.
Right? Good morning. The only place where people, where Democrats and Republicans get along is here at Tracy and Friends.
That's barely.
Well, we talk. I just, getting along is a different story there. By the way, I want to, Diva, I didn't wish you a happy birthday yesterday, so I'll wish you a belated today.
Oh, thank you, Matt.
Hey, Diva, you got more birthday wishes on the air than I did. Did you know that?
I don't even think you were online. You weren't on air when your birthday, for your birthday, were you?
My birthday was the 28th
Whoa.
Of December, which is on a Saturday, but I was on that Friday. Heck,
what
we don't even
saying?
Know when your birthday is. You had a birthday party, and we still don't know.
What?
Everybody calling and talking about happy birthday, Diva. What happened? My chopped liver, geez, old man. So do you, I mean, Diva, what's up with this? Matt, help me, explain this to me.
It's politics.
So why
They're
does the American...
They do what they do. All they do is point fingers at the other side to make the other side look bad. It's an election year.
So why are they trying to kill Christie? Christie ain't nobody but the doughboy. He can't even make it out the primary, and they're trying to kill him.
No, see, that's what you fail to realize is that you guys look at Christie and you see Christie as something different than what Democrats see Christie as.
But Diva,
because
Diva,
typically,
you got to get...
What type of candidates have you guys have won the Republican nomination?
Diva, you missed my point. He's got to get out the primary. See, it's not about what Democrats think right now. It's about what Republicans think right now.
You don't think he had the chance to make it out of a primary?
Not as much as they gave him the credit for. No. He was going to have a hard road to toe because, you know, he might have been loved by the independents and the liberals, but the conservative right, He wasn't their poster boy.
Well, in the last, ever since the election, he hasn't been, because a lot of things have been coming out about Christie and his stances on environmentalism, gun control, and things of that nature. But
that's what I'm saying.
When Christie first hit the scene, when he was given a speech, it was like listening to Barack Obama for the right. We used to call it Christie porn. And because
that
he had
true.
Such a good conservative message. Well, it turns out that Christie is just like, what we see going on the left. And I'll tell you what, this is a ledge I'm going to have to be talked down from. But if it were to come down in 2016, if it came down to Chris Christie and Hillary Clinton and there was no viable, powerful third-party option, I'm voting for Hillary Clinton.
You see what
so
I mean?
I take it Republicans are just basically going to give up on elections now because you guys are not going to be able to win a national presidency with a very strong conservative.
It's not about a strong conservative. You got to be a common sense. You got to understand. Christie was, you know, this is how I look at Christie. Christie is like the person, the guy that you see for the first time and you look across the room and he's like all that in a bag of chips and you go out with him for a couple dates and he wows you. I mean, he spreads it on thick. You wrong there. I mean, you know, he spreads it on, and you, like, walk away like, my God, I have found the man of my dreams.
Oh, yeah,
he's
you get dizzy, you get that good feeling, your
absolutely.
Life is set.
Absolutely.
Right.
Oh, yeah, he gives me a warm tinkle down my leg, all that.
Don't say that.
That was pretty good.
I mean, that's what Chris Matthews said about Barack Obama. I might as well get in on it, too. And then all of a sudden, you got this, you know, you find out that, you know.
The guy from hell.
Yeah,
the
you
one
know,
your parents
all
warned
of a sudden,
you about.
All of a sudden, you catch him when he, and you're like, oh, I didn't know that. He don't brush his teeth but once a week. He don't take a bath, either? He ain't got no job. He live in his mama's basement. Huh.
But he wears that leather jacket awfully nice.
Yeah, but he dresses up well. And that's what we have to really understand. That's how Christie came off. And don't get me wrong, I happen to like Chris Christie. This is not about Tracy hating on Christie. I'm just saying the disdain he has for most conservatives across the country, because if you listen to some of these, especially the ones that are more libertarian-leaning, you know, Chris Christie got a long way to go.
Well, you know
so
what,
he had
Tracy,
to make it out the primary.
You know what, Tracy? I'm stopping buying into this. Well, I like him, but thing. I can't do it anymore. I really can't, because in Cuyahoga Falls, which is right by me, I went to a Romney rally right before the election, and I wasn't that far back from stage. And Chris Christie came out, and I was, you know, the man looked right in my face and lied to me, completely lied to me about his vision of the country and his vision of conservatism. So I really don't like Chris Christie because he lied to me. I don't like liars. And
He didn't lie to me. I got a hug. I got a kiss on the cheek. I got a picture. I got to pray for the man. I haven't liked him. I didn't get to, you know, sit down and have a one-on-one quietly in the back corner for about 20 minutes. But that's next time we meet. But, so, you know, we take this slow. Because I need to know more about the man than he's willing to reveal in the public. But I had a chance to really actually sit down and have a conversation with him briefly. And I said politics is politics. He was stomping for Romney at the time. And so we need to read him a little bit better. But as I said, Christie was not he's not the darling of the Republican Party as the media wants you to think he is. And he's got to get out the primary. And everybody's acting like he's already through the primary and get ready to go up against Hillary Clinton. And that's not how it is.
But no one thought McCain. Did you really think that McCain had a strong chance of winning y'all?
McCain had no business. Remember, McCain was broke. He was giving a step backwards off somehow.
But what I'm
something
saying
happened.
Is, did you guys think he had a chance?
Diva, no. Let me say this to you. Let me tell you what happens. What happens is people begin to see the writing on the wall and they begin to forecast what's going to happen, and they back up. Because if you look at that primary with John McCain should have never made it.
Yeah, and that's true. When you go back and you think about, all of us were thinking that we backed him when he got the nomination, but everyone was shocked that he was the last guy standing.
He was broke. He almost went bankrupt. He, you know, he was messed up.
And did you think Romney was going to win the nomination in 2012.
Yes. You want me to tell you why? Because he was a media darling. They wouldn't allow anybody. They killed everybody else. And this is what they do. And the media is coming in here, and they are picking and choosing the candidates for you.
Okay, and this is why I say, and this is why they're doing what they're doing to Chris Christie, because right now Chris Christie is the media darling for the right.
But
they
Diva,
are
he's not the, no, 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 Diva, you're missing the point. He's not the media darling for the right.
Sure isn't.
He's the media
darling for the liberal. I'm not saying that he's the darling. What I'm saying is that's who they're choosing to be.
No, they're not. No, they're using him as an example. Because he would have, if by chance he made it through the primary, he would give Hillary a run for their money.
Exactly,
but they are,
and that's why they're trying to destroy him now, so that he won't even have a chance.
It's not that he won't have a chance.
Did you hear George Soros last election say, it doesn't matter whether we get Romney or Obama?
I heard you say it a couple of times.
Okay, well, you need to go and get his quote. Look at George Soros' quote of last election, and he says, it does not matter whether we get Obama or Romney. Because they're both the same thing. And the people in the party, they've been taking over the party, are the neocons, and they're the ones that are going with this liberal thing. And don't you ever think, once again, that a conservative cannot win a national election. That's the only Republican that can win a national election. And that's because you had 3 million born-again Christians sat out the race because Romney was a Mormon.
And he never spoke to him.
Never spoke to him. He never addressed them. He never went out to them to try to help them get it together or nothing. You got this twisted. You're listening
to the
media.
Okay, so you tell me which strong conservative –
Marco Rubio could win. Ted Cruz could win. I'm telling you. You just don't believe it.
The Republicans cannot win with just their base.
You have no idea how the Electoral College works. Look at that map. Look at the map. Go back and remember, you have a problem with Barack. Let me say this: Barack Obama had a problem with white Democrats, white middle class Democrats voting for him. So they had to scare the heck out of you black Democrats to make you stand in line because they're going to put y'all back in chains.
Can we just stick to the facts here and try to gauge 2016 here? Because if you think a Republican candidate can win with just the Republican base, a Ted Cruz and a Marco Rubio will turn off the moderate party in the progressive.
Diva, are you a Republican?
No, I'm not.
Okay, then shut up.
So how are you as
because
a Democrat,
you don't know
as a Republican,
what you're talking about.
Me as a Democrat,
again,
that you know more
again,
about a Democrat than I do? But
once,
yet you don't want me to tell you about a Republican.
Everyone faces challenge.
I do know more about Democrats than you do, but you know why? I work for Democrats at times.
But you,
I work
okay.
in Democrat
right.
politics.
Okay.
We live it all the time. You have no idea. You don't know what alliances have been made.
All the time.
Hold on, Diva. Matt, go ahead and jump in.
Let me just interject here for a second. I think you're both actually right, and here's why. If you're looking at if you understand progressivism and the way that it progresses, so to speak, through history, you notice that they change names when things tend to go wrong with the party or when they get a bad rap for something. They change names, like from liberal to progressive, back to liberal again. They change names. And I fear right now that's what they're trying to do. So I think people like Christie or Boehner or McCain or some of these other people who have progressive ideals, which they do, I think it's an infiltration of the Progressive Party and changing their names into a conservative movement. Now, if you look at somebody like Ted Cruz Rubio, I'm not sold on Rubio right now as a true conservative. But when it comes to a Ted Cruz or something like that, yeah, I could see them actually be able to have a good grasp and win in 2016 because people are going to get sick and tired of this progressive leftist movement that's doing what it's doing right now. Democrats are running away from this administration right now. So they might actually change and vote for a Ted Cruz. But the worst case scenario – the worst case scenario is if they were to turn around and vote for a progressive rightist, because then not only are we still pushing the progressive mindset and the progressive policies, but now they're dressed in my name, in the conservative name, and they can blame the conservative party for the destruction of the country down the line.
Matt, what makes one a Democrat? What makes a person a Democrat and tend to vote a Democrat?
A Democrat's just a home. It's not.
Answer the question. Because you said that.
I just was.
If
was
Ted
answered.
Cruz was nominated, that the way the left is going, Democrats will switch their vote and vote for Ted Cruz.
He didn't tell you that.
What do you think a Democrat is and why they vote the way they do?
Well, I was just trying to explain that. A Democrat is not a belief system. A Democrat is a home for a belief system, just like a Republican is. So really you should say, and I don't want to say liberal because liberal basically means conservative with the rest of the world. We're the only ones that use liberal as a leftist ideal. So I would have to say that I think that there are moderate liberals that know that going way too far left is a horrible thing. They're still going to be Democrats, but they're going to be Americans first. And they'll stay Democrat, but vote for the more conservative person to try to bring us back on an even keel.
Hold on, Diva. Can I throw this into the mix? You asked the wrong question. Most people are Democrat and or Republican by birth. Has absolutely nothing to do with them being a part of the party and actually understanding why they are or are not a Republican and or a Democrat. Most people they have no idea of the platform. They have no idea of the focus. They have no idea of the process. They just go in and say that they are. They don't understand the difference between conservative and or liberal. They just go in and vote what they've always voted based upon their environment. And you
and
have to also
why.
Understand, and the majority of Americans are independent. And those independent people are not voting. They come out and vote in two elections, the gubernatorial election and the presidential election. They do not vote in the primaries, nor do they vote in off-year elections. So we need to get a real understanding of what we're talking about. Most of the American citizens do not participate in the process, and those that do are so undereducated they don't have a clue of what they're doing. And when you look at the Electoral College, even by the one that President Obama won this past election in 12, and if you go back in 8, you will notice if you look at the country was red except for your urban metropolitan areas. And they struck out as blue. They overshot the states where the suburban areas stayed at home. So you look at the state of Ohio, and you saw high concentration numbers in Cuyahoga County, in Mahoning County, in Franklin County, in Hamilton County, in Lucas County. Everybody else, they was just going through another day. If you don't get that vote to come back out every time, and you can only excite them so many times with the same thing and not give them anything, and they don't even know what to ask for.
Can I interject, Tracy? Why do you think they tell you in the state of Ohio they're trying to suppress your vote when all you got to do is send a letter to the Board of Elections, get your little ballot, send it in without an ID, and vote?
No, you
That's because
a,
it's
you
a
gotta,
lie.
You have a birth date.
I have to do all that. I should be able to go to the ballot box and cast my vote like I want to, like I've been doing for years.
You can. You can do that, too, but you need an ID, so bring your driver's license.
No, it's not just about an ID. Before,
it is just
it
about an ID, Diva.
You're
the perfect example.
Oh, Jesus
You're the perfect
Christ.
Example of how
no,
they urge you to the polls. And the thing is that is so asinine.
All
think
right,
about
Jeff.
What you're saying. I mean, think about it, though.
Okay.
Just think
right,
about
Jeff.
This.
Okay.
You're trying
before
to,
it was,
you're try, no,
before
no,
it was
you're
about,
trying to
no.
not have your voice. No, listen,
okay.
sweetie.
All right.
You're trying to not have your vote taken, you think.
Okay.
Well,
right,
you
Jeff.
Can get around that. All you have to do is send in, and if you're
I don't
want to
send
in
a hard piece of paper. I want to
you're not
I want
even
to
listening.
In a process.
Hey, Matt, you can't listen.
Hey, Matt, referee, what do you think? I got to take a break in a minute, but what do you think?
Well,
you know,
if you're talking about voter ID,
we're talking about it all.
It's a whole mindset and scenario. They do it every time.
It's funny because me as an American citizen, okay? I'm an American citizen. I can prove it. I'm an American citizen. Things should come a little easier to me in this country because I'm an American citizen. Mm-hmm. And what's happening is it's becoming easier for the people that are not American citizens to be able to do what I used to be able to do, and it's getting harder on me as an American citizen. So
right.
I don't think it's beyond the realm of being fair or unfair to say, hey, you know what? You should prove that you're an American citizen by simply going, and there are states and there are counties and townships and cities that are willing to pay for your ID. It doesn't have to be a driver's license. A criminal in prison can get a state ID. That's how easy it is. It just shows I am this
no,
person.
No, it's not as simple as just getting an ID, because now they're getting picky about what type of identification you can have.
Cite in an
okay.
example.
Okay.
Before
example.
In Ohio, you used it was just about proving residency,
it's
making
clear.
Sure that you are a resident
Diva.
In the area
Diva.
That you are voting.
Diva.
So you
Diva,
a bill.
Talk about what you know. Diva, I sit on the Board of Elections. You can bring a piece of mail,
and as long as it's got your name and address on it, and still vote in the state of Ohio. That has not changed. Period. That has not changed.
So once again,
I'm not even just talking about Ohio, Tracy. I'm talking about all over. That has changed in different places.
Every state has their own laws based upon their own legislature. That's how America is.
And you don't think Ohio is getting to that point?
No. But no one's even.
You don't think Ohio's going to get to that point?
No. Okay. The only thing in Ohio that we're trying to go after is the Golden Week. There's the Golden Week and the actual times of voting be right before the election.
Because it's hard to do, and it's very expensive to do.
And to reconcile the books. It's hard to reconcile
the books
before you get them
to the
polls. When
you sit in line to vote for 7 hours, you're
Diva,
not going to say,
the reason why people stood in line for seven hours to vote in the state of Ohio is because of absolute ignorance.
No
I
one is.
In and
I walked,
walked out.
Past. I walked past 3 hours worth of line and took my ballot to the door. It's sheer ignorance. Everyone in the state of Ohio who was a registered voter got a piece of mail that said, "Fill out this form and we'll send it to the house."
Here it is,
Steven,
here it
can,
is again.
Steven,
I don't
want if
to
you
want to
send it,
Steven, I
want to
go to the machine. I want to push the buttons. I want
no,
to experience.
No, you didn't, Diva.
This has been
no,
around for
didn't.
A long time.
Diva,
now this went down.
She said she wants yeah. to do.
No, you can do that, and you still didn't stand in line for no 7 hours in the state of Ohio.
Sure yeah, did. I did.
No,
you
had
the,
to
the,
stand
the,
in
the,
line.
The,
for early voting of all purposes.
You were standing
early
in the
voting.
Line.
I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM.
Dumbass people.
Well, that's not nice. But listen,
it's getting on my nerves.
I got to go take care of some things, so I'm not going to be chatting or anything
that's
here.
That's not nice. I got to go take care of some things.
Well, you scare me, Diva, sometimes. You scare me.
I hate when we talk about stuff like this because all it does is it's like they fail to, for them to be as smart as they are about politics and as old as they are, they still can't see what's going on. All this bickering back and forth between Democrats, Republicans, left and right, all that is their agenda, to get us arguing with each other so they can keep doing what they're doing in Washington.
Yeah,
so instead of us
arguing
with them, we're arguing with each other.
Whose agenda is it?
You know what agenda it is.
No, I don't. No, I honestly don't.
What?
Are you talking about
I have
Jeff
to admit,
Tracy's agenda or the rightist agenda? What are you talking about?
It's a combined agenda of the far left and the far right. The far right wants to see a country how they want to build the country into how they want it to be, and the far left wants to do the same thing. The only way they can do that is tear out the middle or those who are closest to the middle. So what they do is they get us to argue with each other, go back and forth with each other, so that we're not paying attention to what they're really doing. And it's getting worse, and it's getting worse.
Well,
and it's
getting worse. You're absolutely right. It is. It's getting worse. But, see, I don't think it's what you said. I think it's understanding where people are. For instance, there's a lot of times I sit back and I scratch my head, and I don't understand why Democrats get so opposed to people like John McCain or just so opposed to people like Lindsey Graham or Boehner or even Chris.
Because
they represent
John McCain,
leftist beliefs.
Because John McCain, Boehner, they're still Republicans. There is a complete difference in Republicans and Democrats. There's a complete difference in those agendas, in those party platforms.
No.
You believe in those, in the ideals of the left, you're not going to vote for someone on the right because no matter how moderate they are, their ideals still align with those that you don't agree with.
A lot of these aren't even moderate, though, Diva. I consider them hard. That's why I just told you earlier in the show that if it came down between Christie and Clinton, I'm voting for Clinton because Christie represents the same values as Hillary Clinton does. He's said them. You have to search for him because he tries to disguise them to stay in his Republican or conservative status, but he's got them. He's got the same beliefs.
All of you are so naive. I've been listening to you guys argue and go back and forth.
You guys are so
sadly naive.
Go ahead, genius. Tell us what the world is about.
None of these politicians have any values.
I think I just got through saying that, but I'm not.
No, I hear both of you talking. I heard you talk. You spun a nice web about why you guys lost the last election.
I didn't.
Well, I don't know. Was that you? I think that was you, Matt. Well, it was. I don't know.
I didn't say anything about the last.
But none of these let me just say this: none of these politicians have any values. None of them are principled about anything.
I think Diva understands that, and I understand that. So where are we now?
Doesn't that's not? You guys must not listen to what you're saying. You guys must not be listening to your own
politics at one point, and I think of myself as a very, very value person, a person of values, of morality.
You may have some values, but you're not a politician.
But I
could
be.
All I'm saying is that none of these politicians have any values that they stick to that are that important. They change with the wind. They do what they feel is going to be popular. They feel is going to further their careers. They don't have any values. Come on.
Well, nobody's arguing that, Beasley. I don't think
but
any
no.
of us.
Well, then
so
what do you
we
guys,
were talking about
then
first.
What are you
we
guys,
were,
then what are you guys oh. arguing? You're arguing about pieces of straw that sway with the wind.
No, Beasley, we were talking about voters. When I say
I was listening.
Voters.
You guys were first.
A person will not vote for McCain, Boehner, or the likes of those two is because of their ideals and their beliefs. They align with the Democrat agenda. That's what I was talking about. I wasn't saying politicians. No, no one can really say. You can sit here and you can't. You can just see that everything changes. President Obama has changed with the wind on some of his so-called values. They all do.
They don't have any values.
I'm not going to say that.
Beasley, let me ask you a question.
Because this is what drives, and you and I, you have some good insights, and we have some good conversations. But here's what drives me nuts about you, and you always seem to start this off this way: is you'll come in and you'll make a blanket statement like, "What are you arguing about? Politicians have no values. Move on." We would have 3 hours of dead air because, according to you, they have no values. Just let the world.
You know
go
what?
You,
with all due respect, the world might be a better place.
I think the world is the way it is because we've ingrained people not to talk about politics and family gatherings around campfires. We've said religion and politics should stay out of it. I think the world has gone by and screwed us because of it for the last 30 years.
Well, religion and politics have been around a lot longer than any of us. And people don't discuss it because of the type of arguments that was going on the air.
People discussed it for thousands of years, Beasley. That was the big thing. They used to have smoking rooms where what they used to call the masters of the universe would go and retreat and smoke cigars and drink brandy and talk about politics and religion. What the heck was that?
That's me. I'm watching a video on Facebook.
Oh.
Sorry.
But anyway, I'm just saying, that's my opinion, is we've moved so far away from what really is important, and not saying that politics is – I mean, you have to discuss politics. Otherwise, the housewives of Orange County is the big subject of the day, and society continues to tumble downhill.
Well, there's a lot of other things to discuss that are concerning and affecting the world. I don't hear anyone ever mention Agenda 21.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, no,
I don't,
got
I don't,
a point
I don't,
there.
I don't hear anyone on this particular show that speaks of the central banks
and how
they directly operate and control just about every single institution.
Now let me be fair here for a second. Jeff and I would be more than willing to go as many rounds with Agenda 21 because that's a legitimate threat, and we believe that. Tracy does not like to talk about those things because they're not in the view for people to see. And that's no offense against Tracy. She just likes people to be able to, I guess, understand the topics at hand, I guess. I don't know. But you're right. Agenda 21.
Why not teach and enlighten people about things that they don't know about?
Tracy speaks
like a politician.
At times, yes.
You hear some of the things, and Diva agreed, she speaks like a politician.
Yeah, no, I agree. At times she does. But there's a reason for
that's
that.
Because
but it,
she
I'm,
is one, though.
Friends here on WSLM, AM 600, the number is 347-945-5229. And Jeff and I are here in studio, and we got Diva and Matt on the phone. I got a private caller coming in. And we want to hear from you also. We were talking about the local politics and Christie and who can win and who can't win. You're listening to Johnny Guitar Watson. It came out in 1975, 74, somewhere around there.
Yeah,
and
76.
Somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't play it on the air too much. and you know, you didn't have that too many black folks play on the air, so it couldn't make the top 40. But, you know, it's really, really funny how you can go back 30 years and find out it's the same. You can turn the air off, Jeff, because it is freezing in here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The icicle falls off my behind right now.
You know, it's kind of funny how you can write a song back in the 30 years ago and it be relevant today. It's really, really amazing, because if you listen to the lyrics of that song, you know, it's a real mother for you. It's Tuesday.
And ain't that a
No, because they got a beep on, because, you know, you can beep.
You got a beep on it?
They got a beep on it.
Oh, okay.
They got beeps on it. Yeah, modern technology
ain't
got beeps.
That
on
a,
it. No, you can't do that next
it
time.
It ain't that.
No, that's next time. And I got it. I want to go.
Slick.
I want to segue between, let me bring my private caller, but I do want to segue from what we're talking about of Chris Christie and the national media and how they are. You're getting more flack towards the governor than you are for the president, yet the only person and the only people that are really concerned about the governor of New Jersey, quote unquote, are the people of New Jersey, quote unquote. And the problem is, I live in Ohio, so what happens in New Jersey is really not my concern. But what happens in the White House is my concern, and you still have not gotten the scrutiny in the White House as you have in, quote unquote, New Jersey. Private caller, your mic is on.
Yes, I'm just listening today. Good morning.
Easy. Good morning. Good early morning for you. 4 o'clock
yes.
In the morning up there, isn't
it? No. Man. I don't. That's not me.
Huh? That's not
that's
you.
Not
no,
me. That's not me with no, that noise.
No, that's Alabama. Alabama heat out in the
You world. Know, Alabama doing a new thing this year, he said.
What are you doing?
I don't know, but we wished him much success because he said he's going to be on something new this year. He might not be able to call as much. But
he may not be. Well, he call as much because we in the morning, but I expect for him to call at least 3 times a week. So what? I mean, the check is in the mail.
Don't you think it's pretty dangerous what Chris Christie's aides did, and he denied it all along, but don't you think it's pretty dangerous that, I mean, I would believe that everybody plays politics this way.
I believe this is
a pretty common thing that politics is played this way. But, mm-hmm.
I agree. What they did in New Jersey was bad. And I can also say that a lot of times, knowing the political system as close as I am to the political system, I can actually say I really believe that some of our governors are clueless about what really goes on with staffers.
You've got too many of them.
I mean, you'd be surprised what goes on in your office that you don't know that they've done. And you can call it, what they call it, deniable plausibility, or you can call it sleep at the wheel or too much to do. It's the same thing with President Bush. President Obama. President Obama said, I found out on CNN like everybody else. You know?
At the end of the day, when you're in charge, you're responsible, though. And you know that he hired those people because they're effective at getting things done. Effective at getting things done. That they're even doing some shenanigans like this.
You'd be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. What surprises me that they were stupid enough to leave an electronic trail.
I'm not surprised they're kids.
This guy won't get the nomination. He won't even get close to getting the nomination. In fact, this will pass. He'll be shielded
Brown,
from this. But I think
Brown.
Let me just finish.
It had
sentence.
Nothing to do with the bridge. His not getting the nomination out of the Republican Party will have nothing to do with a bridge to New York.
Maybe not. That's yet to be seen. The problem that he really has is
okay.
The investigation that they have now for the misuse of Sandy funds, where he had a television advertisement that featured his family that looks almost like a campaign. It looks like a campaign ad, and they're investigating that now. And that would be enough to sink him. I'm also surprised that everyone
not
is so
Republican
quick to give
nomination.
Hillary the Democratic nomination.
Why not? They're scaring everybody from running against her.
They sure
they know
are.
What they're doing.
look at how
I doubt she'll be the nominee.
Well, listen, Brown. Look at how they piled on here that quick on Christie, just like that nor'easter did with that 2 feet of snow on the East Coast. Here it is. One day you got Bridgegate, then the next day you talking about he knew and we're going to look into it, and then we got the very next day you got 24 different people from the Obama administration seizing on New Jersey with charges against Christie one way or another. This was not a coincidence. This was what they do. Don't think that the chemical spill down in West Virginia does not have anything to do with politics. I'll guarantee you, when you got EPA override like you do, overreg like you do, and you got an ideological president, he has enough henchmen that think like him across the country that they'll make sure the Koch brothers are put on Front Street so George Soros can go in the background and invest in any candidate he wants to, including Mr. Chris Christie, by the way.
Jeff, I don't know what the heck you're talking about.
I know, but you need to listen.
You tied in the spill.
Chris Christie,
the president, George Soros.
It's all one big healthy knot.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't coincidences, Jeff. Yes.
These things are
you
what
sound
they
like
do.
You're weaving a conspiracy
Brown.
Where
I'm
there's
Brown.
None
Brown.
There.
Hold on, Brown. Alabama, your mic is up.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad to see Chris Christie, this happened to him. I'm sick of people like him, Romney, McCain. I'm sick of these people. I'm tired of them. The media's been telling us for the last 2 years, only Christie can win, just like they did with Romney.
Right.
They forced him down our throat. I'm sick of it. And if they're not going to run people that really represent people's value, and then when they lose, well, it's because of you people like us that have certain beliefs, then I have a problem with. So my thing is, good for him. I mean, I'm sure he's stabbed some people in the back and double-crossed a few people his day. And just like Brown said, he's going to come back from this. It's too early. You got midterms. It's too early. This will die down. But I hope he doesn't get it, because if he does, I'm tired of it. Like, this is clear. The show they were talking about Agenda 21 and the banks. It's clear their fingerprint is all on this type of stuff. And you can see, because these are the type of politicians that they like to work with.
Absolutely, because they're progressives. You have to understand that the trend in government is going to be one world right now. They're looking at setting up economic zones and governmental zones that go across the globe. That's why you have your progressive presidents, meaning Mr. Clinton and Mr. Obama, that give more power to the United Nations than they do to the sovereignty of the United States.
And Mr. Bush. Let's not forget Bush.
Mr. Bush did to a certain degree, and because he's run by his father, who is a progressive, and Mr. Bush tried to pull away from the progressives, but, I mean, he's in too deep. You can't pull away once they get the hooks on you. That's why you're going to see a Jeb Bush presidency. I know a lot of people think I'm crazy for saying that.
I don't think you are.
I don't either. And you're going to see a Jeb Bush presidency.
You won't see a Jeb Bush run if you don't see a presidency.
That's right. But you're going to see Jeb Bush play figuratively in government, and he will be a world leader. You have to understand. And then Barack Obama, he will be over there on that side too. But Bill Clinton still hasn't entered into his kingdom. Okay, and they wanted Bill Clinton to be, he thought he was going to be Secretary General of the UN.
And he still might be,
but the thing is that's where they're headed. They're headed in these one world governments because they were saying that about Obama. He's going to be a great leader for America, and then after, when he gets out of office, he's going to be a great leader for the world.
Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
No, go ahead and finish your thought. I just want to throw out a zinger after Jeff's done.
Yeah, but that's where they're headed. They're planning this whole big move in these and all of these ways to go. And I really want to bring up one other thing, if I can, real quick. I tried to tell a friend of mine on Facebook, you know, that why do you think he's a huge Obama fan, okay, Obama. I said, think about something. Wall Street is doing great, but the people of America are doing poorly. Why? And they won't answer that question. They can't answer it because I know they're not savvy to know. But Wall Street put President Obama in office both times. QE3 is giving Wall Street, man, they're going to get some of the biggest bonuses this year that they have ever given, while the people of America suffer, and they keep hollering about this income inequality, and he's causing it. And you're too goofy to even see it. You got to open your eyes. QE3 is causing income inequality. Because
you just talked 100 million people unemployed.
Yeah, 93 million people don't have a job.
No, okay.
Yeah, that's the exact number.
You're talking about the numbers that are unemployed, but they keep on talking about how jobs are, but nobody's making any money, nothing's going up, everything is going crazy, and the people are falling off the rolls, and that's the only reason why.
Right.
The numbers look the way they do. 440, your mic is on.
Yeah, I got a couple things. I mean, how's that working out for everybody that Obama's in office? How's that working out for you? That's
terrible
good.
For me.
And by the way, you know, Hillary Clinton, why would she's responsible for four deaths, directly responsible for four people dying, and we're gonna give her a nomination. That's wonderful. She'll get in like Obama got in,
no,
and that
you're
is
not
the women,
nomination.
The,
Democrat Party.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
Hold on, David.
Don't talk over me.
Excuse
you know,
me.
Yeah, don't talk over me. Are you rude or what?
You're the rudest person to call
me. Hey. I ain't got time for that. Go ahead.
Shut up. Hold on.
Go ahead, 440. I got to go ahead. Go ahead. Diva. Diva, hold on. Diva, trying to find out what the man said. Now you done made him hang up on you and hang up on me, too. Hey. Not cute.
It ain't very fun. I wanted to hear what he had to say.
I wanted to hear what he had to say.
Please call back 440.
He's been sitting in the wings for a minute trying to stop that. So you can't. I can be rude on the only person that can be rude on here is me.
Yeah, I'm
rude
at it. To be rude.
Everybody else does
it
over time. Everybody else, especially me. Give me a river.
Did you see the general that on Fox today was saying that he met with them the night of Benghazi? They went and met with the president. It like, I mean, as soon as it happened, they all had a meeting, and they sat down and told him about the situation.
It was about a movie. I don't know what you're talking about. They were talking about the movie that came out.
Listen,
no,
nothing
not
happened.
You're talking about Benghazi. You're talking about Benghazi.
Said,
he met with the president. The general said he met with him.
Alabama, did you hear what I said? It was about a movie.
No,
there's
nothing.
While we're on
go
this
ahead,
subject,
Matt.
I just want to throw something out really quick. And I've seen a couple blurbs of this. It's not huge news yet, but I see the seeds that have been planted and starting to grow. And it's on this Benghazi thing. And this is something to look for in the future because I think something's really going to happen with this. John Kerry, Secretary of State, it's been reported that his office has been leaking little pieces of information here and there about what really happened in Benghazi. And I think John Kerry is going to start causing waves, and it's really going to screw Hillary Clinton up. We might see some fireworks here in the next probably couple years if this keeps continuing. I'm just saying, I saw a couple blurbs on it, so we'll see where it goes.
He's young enough to still be president.
Oh,
no.
And
he still wants to be president.
Yep.
He would get the nomination before Hillary.
No.
I don't think so. He already lost.
No, he
so
won't.
I don't think they want to do
no.
that.
Hillary already lost. Hillary won't win.
No.
Hillary never got a chance to run.
We're talking about the nomination. You guys keep on trying to go into the general, but you got to get to your primary. Kerry doesn't have the support that Hillary has in the base. They would have to split that whole ticket up, and there is not another woman.
Well, see, dirties are enough.
How dirty can they get her?
I mean, she's directly responsible for the ambassador dying.
Well, that may be
okay. And if she is not, then it's President Obama. because that's who she takes orders from.
Again.
And
they're going to throw the...
Both of them have to go under the bus.
Yeah. No, no, no. No.
The fact is the left doesn't see it as you see it, so she will win the primary. Unless
because you
something
in love with her.
Happens.
Well,
we don't see
Steve,
the left doesn't see it that way.
Before
the
we start filling our...
Hold on.
Before we start filling our basket here, okay, we have to remember, Diva and Beasley, that 3 years that George Bush had left and we were looking at that election coming up, the name Barack Obama was unknown.
Maybe to you, but not me. I knew he was
not
going to be president.
Either.
Or something.
As a presidential hopeful for that year?
Yes.
Diva
and Jeff were the only two that knew. We knew.
No, we were not the only two that knew.
Yeah,
you
did.
No, not the only two.
If you heard him,
I did at the 04.
Right.
If you knew he
was a front runner right then and there.
Hold on. He was a front runner going somewhere, but he wasn't a front runner for 08.
What,
sure
2006
he
was. Came around.
No, Hillary,
sure he
was. Hillary was the christened one until they found out.
I agree.
You got to understand how they worked that caucus and that primary election. People don't understand how Diva. People do not understand how masterful. Diva, you have to understand how masterful what they did in the primary caucuses and going through that process was masterful to get the nomination.
Doesn't matter. In 2006, that he was going to beat Hillary.
Diva. Diva, it's not about beating. He didn't beat her.
Well, I don't know
out,
who was calling that in 2006.
He outmaneuvered her.
It doesn't matter. I knew he was going to be president.
It does matter. That's what's wrong. If you guys don't look at how things work, you'll always think that you win the race by running to the end by getting to the finish line. That's not how this works. What they did was masterful. Coming out that Iowa caucus the way they did, understanding how it works.
All you had to see was how he operated when he was in Illinois and how he ran
campaigns.
You could have understood
how
he was going to
be. Diva, you're too naive to understand that the President of the United States, Barack Obama, and his people changed the whole political game the whole year long. It had nothing to do about him winning. It had nothing to do with him winning
at all.
Okay. If you beat your opponent, that means you won. I'm sorry, y'all can spin it however you want, but to me, that's called winning.
Davis, can I say something to you? Please listen. When we're telling you about how politics work, we're not trying to tell you that the man didn't run for office and that he didn't get votes or this, that, and other. We're telling you that the way these people came in and changed the political spectrum and changed the landscape has been unprecedented in history. That
tell us, poor naive people, how he did it, so we'll know.
Listen,
like you.
I'm gonna take my break, and when I'll come back, we'll come back and we'll tell you this. This is about maneuvering. It's the same thing that happened in 2000 and the 2000 election with Al Gore and President Bush
and
the Chads down in Florida. You got to understand how the game changed, and the game changer is not in the winning and the losing. It is in the manipulation of the voting process. So I'll be right back.
This is why
he came in.
So
he came
upset.
In, Diva, hold up. When he came in, a lot of people didn't know about him, baby. He gave that speech in 04. A lot of people didn't know who he was on the mainstream. You may have known, but a lot of people didn't, right? When he got Ted Kennedy on, that pissed off Hillary now. Because Ted was supposed to go with him. When he went with Barack Obama, Ted Kennedy legitimized everybody. And it just took off from there. And then what they're talking about is his internet campaigning. Nobody had done that the way he did it. So that's what they're talking about.
Here's the thing. They're trying to talk to me about something that they think I don't know about. I'm not irrelevant. That's
both
irrelevant.
Them,
the fact of the matter
of
is,
I don't think it's a disagreement,
won.
Though, Diva.
You know
okay,
something?
You knew you're in the minority. There are very few people that knew back in 06. That Barack Obama's going to win 2 years later. Just very few.
Read the political climate and look at history. You could have seen how he was going to beat Hillary.
Okay, I mean, well, I understand that. I'm just telling you, just like Rudy Giuliani was supposed to be.
Mary. They would have been able to see that he was
Giuliani was far ahead, and so was Hillary. Hillary was 30 points ahead. I don't understand what Tracy said. I've been quiet, and I'm listening. When she said, no, he didn't beat him, he outmaneuvered him, I don't know what the real difference is. A lot of time, if you just let those two talk, Diva, and stop trying to bait with them, let them just talk and see how much sense they make sometimes. I suggest instead of engaging them hand-to-hand, why don't you sit back and maybe counterpunch and ask a couple of questions, because they don't make a lot of sense when they talk.
They don't.
They really
they don't.
Sit back and listen. Sit back and listen. Don't let them agitate you. And ask a couple of questions. Because beating and outmaneuvering, what difference does it make?
Hey, where's all that noise?
I mean, I always thought that
in a contest, no matter if you beat
your opponent, you've won. But see, they don't want to look at it as, so see, they're looking at it from a different perspective. They're looking at this from a whole different angle.
They're not making any sense. They're trying to explain what that means.
Trying
to put forth an agenda.
The only way to put forth their agenda is by lessening Obama's credibility. That's part of the reason why the right, and I'm not on the right or the left. I think all of you guys are nuts. But that's the problem with the right, that they are too busy looking backwards instead of forwards. They're concerned and arguing
George Bush has been brought up time and time and time. So I'm sorry that's
so.
George Bush was brought up during the 2008 election constantly because that was relevant. He's not constantly being brought up by the president or anyone else in leadership now.
Well, sure he does. He still brings him up. He just brought him up a couple months ago.
George Bush sent our country to shit.
I disagree with that.
How could you?
It's simple. Look what happened when he left office.
We had an economic collapse that you've never seen.
Okay, can I talk, please?
Banks failed. Huge.
Banks failed left and right. You believe that and we'll get nowhere. Thank you.
You believe that it didn't happen? Take your head out of the sand. Good grief.
This is why the right gets so upset. This is why the right was so upset that President Barack Obama won 2008. Because you guys could not see the writing on the wall. You refused to see the tea leaves. You refused to read the tea leaves.
I'm sorry. I tend to see
4 years in ahead of time. I try to look that far in advance, and I try to line up everything, and I guess not everybody does that, but I'm sorry. Chris Christie is done. Put a fork in it. Turn him over. He's done. He's not going to make it. Hillary Clinton is going to be the Democratic nomination. She was supposed to be the one in 2004, but she made a deal with John Kerry because they wanted to put John Kerry, who was a war veteran hero, up against Bush, who was still running off of the war on terror, 9/11. They didn't think she had a chance against him. She wasn't even supposed to be the one. It wasn't even supposed to be her husband. She was the one, but she was a woman. And at that time, the country was not ready for a female president. So they put her, because she's a smarter one out of the two. He ain't got nothing on her when it comes to savviness and tact and all that. He ain't got nothing on her. And y'all see him when she becomes president. He ain't got nothing on her. And people are still up here trying to scratch their head. Why this is happening to Chris Christie? Hello, this is happening to Chris Christie because they do not want him to run against Hillary Clinton. He is the closest thing to beating her.
I would think that the Democrats do.
He won a blue state. This is a Republican who the left considers a very strong conservative. The right doesn't, but the left does. But yet he still won that re-election. So that makes the left look at it and say, if he can win in a very blue state, being a conservative, being anti-gay marriage, small government-minded, so he say, have all those so-called conservative principles and still win, that's going to give Hillary a hard time in a general election. So it boggles my mind that people are still, like Tracy and Jeff, are still asking the question of
Why? And yet they want to tell me, a Democrat, I don't know what it's like to think like a Democrat. I don't know what other Democrats think. I don't know nothing about being a Democrat other than what someone tells me. Who's being ignorant?
It's Beasley.
That was not Beasley.
That sure is me.
You go on quite a bit.
All right.
You have a lot of passion. Keep going.
You know how I knew it was Beasley? Because he's got that, and this, I mean this in a good way, he's got that.
I don't care what you mean. You can say whatever you want.
At 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
We're back, and you listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 8 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock here on WSOM, and the number is 347-945-5229. Again, let me do that again. The number is 347-945-5229, and I'm glad to be having you in studio with us. I am Jeff's in studio, and Max and Diva and Chase people off. Brown is in there. I really want, you know, I was Brown said, well, enlighten us how President Obama and the masterful organization. Elections are won by organization. Elections are not won necessarily by personality, as you think. And he who outmaneuvers people based upon, you know, their organization is actually pretty much how it runs. Who can raise the money, who can organize the people, and who can mobilize the vote? That's pretty much how it works. And that's why on the local level you don't see it, because you don't have the money and the know-how of how to make it happen. But those that do rise to the top, you will see all the same elements come in line. And so when you look at President Obama and you look at how he won the Iowa caucuses and went over to New Hampshire and then went back around and started counting these numbers. When President Obama went to the Iowa caucuses and what's her name? Oprah Winfrey. Mm-hmm. She said, Barack Obama! And then they went and organized. See, you saw the TV and the crowning and the coronation of the king, but what you didn't see was them understanding how a caucus works different than a primary. Because caucuses are different than primaries. There are very, very few states that have caucuses. Mm-hmm. But it's like you go into a room and you move people around like chess people. And you move them into circles, and then you count the circles like a straw poll on how you're going to take the vote and winner takes all. Caucus. Different than we have in primaries. But then in Ohio, you know, it depends on how your political party puts into their bylaws how you win the number of primary votes based upon your congressional district in your area. So
So when you go into the nomination, what you have is this conference, whether we go to the convention, let me say it this way, you go to the convention, whether it be the Democrat or the Republican convention, then that's when you take all these numbers that you get based upon your primary elections and you come out with a number. And I think you remember there was always talk about a broker convention in the Republican convention in 2012 and how they thought it could have gone to a broker convention. That's when you think that Romney goes in, but he doesn't come out the winner. And I think we've only had one or two broker conventions in the history. But you have to understand President Obama was masterful because Hillary Clinton was still raising money the old way. She was doing things the old way, and President Obama was doing things in a new technological and a sophisticated organizational way. He was running things differently as he would a ground game. And he massively overtook Hillary Clinton, and she could not recoup because she was not prepared for the organizational change.
And she physically, forcibly won the caucuses by threatening people and a lot of different things. Because I remember when she made that charge, even just before the election, and then all of a sudden it got shut up because they had promised to pay her bills off. But the thing is this was Chicago politics gone national, and they went and they did by nook and cranny because Hillary had more of the popular vote, but she could not win those states a certain way. But I remember there's people right here in Ohio that would not and did not vote either time for Barack Obama that are Democrats. And one set of them got removed from being on the Democrat National Committee because they wouldn't vote for this guy. So when you're looking at these politics being a certain way, thinking that, everybody's in this boat for us, and everybody's not in the boat on either side for whoever the nominee. Chris Christie is not a conservative Republican. That's why Republicans didn't come out the last two times, because they had no conservative to vote for. That's why they didn't come. Don't you ever think, not yet anyway, that the country has gone totally so far that there's not enough people to overwhelmingly vote and put a conservative in, because there are. But the thing is they didn't come out. Why? Romney was a Mormon. To Christians, to born-again Christians, Mormonism is witchcraft. Because of how they worship. Now that is just what it is. You're not going to vote for a witch. Although they were going to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Hillary's a witch. I'm sorry, but she's a very smart one, and she's not going
to try to sugarcoat that.
She's not going to be beat again like that. Before she does anything, she's been in that Secretary of State's office. She knows where a lot of bones are buried.
Yeah.
And she'll use those bones.
I don't know if she can't be beat.
How many bodies around Clinton's coming out of Arkansas?
There was a whole coming out across the country.
Yeah.
Ask Ron Brown.
Ron Brown.
He went down with a bullet to the head.
Vince Foster, who committed suicide with the wrong hand.
Well, maybe some he was it's ambidextrous.
No, he was left-handed, but
he can
shoot
with his right.
Yeah.
So, isn't that called ambidextrous when you can use both?
Ambidextrous.
Ambidextrous
right.
When you can use both hands.
Yeah, but there was no gunpowder on either hand.
But let me. So do you understand where I'm coming from, Diva and Brown, and I know Matt, you understand this, but do you guys understand this? These are maneuvers. You know, if you look at the Chad and the president of Chad and the swinging Chad.
We already knew this. We already knew all of this. The fact of the matter is, all I pointed out was the man still won. No matter how he won, how he went about doing it, he still won.
But it has a lot to do. How you win has a lot to do with how you go forward and who comes behind you. And you have to you have to understand what I'm saying. I am giving President Obama one of the highest. One of the highest recognitions that I could ever give him. What
accolades.
His team did in 2008 was
masterful.
I watched folks dance from Hillary Clinton all the way through to John McCain.
Yeah, the thing with The thing with Obama is, and when you talk about outmaneuvering versus just plain beating, Obama didn't win on substance at all. The stories were changed, his stances were changed, his speeches changed to fit the time. He outmaneuvered, and it was masterful on what he got away with saying and the way that he got people to buy the fact that he was double talking and they didn't care.
Matt, hope and change was just what they built her with. Whatever the Clintons did to get the Hollywood crowd with John Landis and not Landis, what is his name? Geffen, David Geffen, and all of those guys mad at the Clintons because Geffen came out and said that Clintons lied. I remember him on the national news saying that the Clintons lied, and he said it just like that. And I said, "What the heck?" And they never developed that story. So I'm up there looking at this thing, and then you hear they tell you Barack Obama was a blank piece of paper. We can make him whatever we want him to be. They said it on national TV, and they did it right before your eyes, and you fell for it. He was nobody and nothing, and they made him into hope and change, the most brilliant president ever to live. And this day, he's going to bring
manufacturing.
He's going to bring back respect to America and the world.
Yes.
And the world hates
we understand, and I'm not trying to slight the man.
I ain't either.
He has never owned a business or managed a company in his entire life. He is so underqualified for the enormity of the position in which he holds. And that's not a disparity of what he is, because anybody in America can win.
That's right.
But what I'm saying is, if you look at even if you look at him as a legislator, as a junior senator, as well as a senator in Illinois, he never took a stand on anything.
The man got a Nobel Peace Prize for nothing.
Tracy, that is how that is who he is. He's not a black or white person.
Yes, he
never
is.
Been that way. If you,
yes,
if
he
you
is.
Research,
so he don't
no,
take a stand. You're right, Diva.
Even.
That's who he is. He doesn't take a stand on anything, and you put a man in, and when he takes a stand, it's always to the left.
What? Right.
It's not about him necessarily taking a stand. It's about him finding common ground. That's
no,
who
he
is.
Oh, come on, Diva. He ain't found common ground with nothing yet. He's a liar, period. He's a liar because he doesn't let you know what he stands for.
Jeff, that's not a liar.
No,
you call him a liar. That's a hard word, Jeff.
But it's the truth.
It's not true.
Oh, it's absolutely
true.
No,
Jeff, he's not a liar. Let me tell you what he is.
Mm-hmm.
He is just one of those people who is indecisive.
He's not indecisive.
No,
he knows
he's
exactly
not indecisive.
What he's going to do.
He is not indecisive. He's the type of person whom he would rather, no matter which side you stand on, he would rather find common ground. It's like this. My daughter would rather, if someone is picking on her, when she was little, if someone's picking on her, she'd rather try to make them her friend and do things to try to make them her friend instead of actually standing up for herself. He's the type of person where he's going to try to make you his friend and agreeing with you and going along trying to find common ground.
And you cultivate that leadership in your daughter?
No.
She will not make a stand for right or wrong?
It's not about making a stand for right or wrong. Look, I see your point in this. Let's find common ground. Okay, so it's
Diva.
Like, okay, you don't like
Diva,
me.
I'm not
going to
let you go there.
Like
Diva, that's just ludicrous.
That's totally
Diva, right. Diva, that's just crazy.
That's insanity.
I'm president of the free world, and your main goal is not the safety and or the security of the United States of America and its constituents here, and you will tell a lie to no effect just because you can, and you
not
call it because I'm trying to get the common gray ground?
That's how he won the presidency of the Harvard Law Review.
He won by doing nothing.
You guys do not listen. He won the presidency of the Harvard Law Review by being conciliatory. Not because he didn't take
no,
a stand.
He wasn't
not because he didn't know right from wrong or believe in right from wrong.
He was the type of person, it does not matter what side of the aisle you're on, I'm going to find common ground with you. That's how he is. That's who he is. He's not a very passionate person about one thing or another like we are. And I'm not going to fault a person who is not the same as me.
I can't believe it. I got to hit it. Matt, what you do is research and see how people talk about him and what they say about him and his personality.
That is who he always tell you.
He's a cynical, very, very passionate person that's passionate about homosexual rights.
That's what the man said from the military. He's very passionate about a homosexual matter. Now, why is that? Because he's not.
Oh, okay.
And just, and I call him, he is disingenuous.
That doesn't make him a liar. He's disingenuous. He's a liar, too, though. He lies for no reason.
What do you mean he lies for no reason?
He lies for no reason. He'll tell a lie, just like his cousin. He said he never talked to his cousin.
Who's his cousin?
How do you know his cousin? Because cousin is all over the news.
Oh, the cousin ain't. That ain't his real cousin. You know cousins lie.
Yeah, I guess.
Ain't you got cousins?
My cousins don't lie on me.
That's because you got good cousins.
I got good cousins.
Hey, the number 347-945-5229. Hey, Matt, what are you writing in the chat room that I can't read?
No, I just wonder if you could see me typing because I had some ammo for a past argument, but that moment is gone.
Bring the argument back because I want to talk about the president of Alabama University who can't have a man stay overnight, and is that a new thing or an old thing? It's a moral clause because she's single.
Moral turpitude means something when you're in a leadership position.
But can I ask you a question, Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
Would they do the same thing if it was a man?
They should.
That's not the question.
I bet you the university would.
No, they wouldn't.
Well, we'll disagree on that one.
We know they wouldn't because men got their own rights. 438, your mic is on. Hi, Stanley.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Again, are we still talking about Obama winning the election?
Well, no, you
missed
the
whole...
Oh, my God. I can't believe what I heard this morning of you guys are saying he has no substance. He's not this. I'm sorry. A lot of people could... you may not agree with him, but a lot of people see him as greater than you think. He is a person that's like Diva saying that's basically going to come to a battle and say, we need to find common ground. You don't like it, but a lot of people do. I do.
Stanley and Diva, tell me one freaking thing that he has come to common ground on in the past 5 years.
Healthcare, Stanley or Diva.
Hold on, Steve. It's not your turn yet.
Healthcare law, the budget deal.
The what?
Hold on. Healthcare law.
What common ground was that? Wait, you guys lost your mind. Wait a minute. Go ahead, Stanley. I want to hear. Okay, let's be honest. You want the big gun? Let's be honest. There was a reunion that was done after Obama won the election that all Republicans did on a restaurant and everything. And they said, and they sat down together, and they said, we're going to do everything in our power to make sure that every law that he goes through doesn't go through. Why don't you talk about that? Why don't you talk about that? Stanley, listen, the man walked through the door. Tracy, I'm getting mad. Why don't you talk about all the time that every time Obama is saying, man, we need to talk about it, Republicans say, no, we're not going to talk about it. We're going to get it my way, it's our way, or nothing. Why don't you talk about the day that, yeah, right, it's a lie.
No, it is. because he already made up his mind. Listen, that's how he came to the table and said, listen, you can come to the table, but all these things are off the table, so we're not going to talk about them.
We're not going to talk about them.
So, yeah,
and
yeah,
all things just happen to be Republican things.
And Republicans are all nice and pretty, Tracy. Republicans are all nice and pretty. They're the one responsible. Remember when they almost crashed the whole system, and Ted Cruz did this famous speech for almost 24 hours and everything. Why don't you talk about that, too? I'm sure you would be shocked of many times Obama tried to came to Republicans and say, let's deal together. You don't want to know nothing about it. It's your way or the highway, period.
Sammy, you got some socks by you?
Period.
Yeah. You got some socks by you?
Do I have some socks?
Never mind. Don't go there. Sammy. There's not been one thing he's done common ground on.
Oh, yeah, please, Jeff. You don't like him. You don't like him. And you have the right. I do. Okay? You don't like him, and I do. I don't like, period. You don't like him.
No, I don't like him because he's a cynical.
It's your right to not like him. Do not stand up. You know,
evil, wicked person. No,
well,
I don't care who you can say the same about. I don't care who you can say the same about, Stanley. It's okay. You can say the same about whoever on the Republican side or the other side is on it. But I'm telling you this, you are totally mistaken thinking he's done.
And you are totally mistaken also,
Jeff.
You are totally mistaken, Jeff.
Stanley, I'm talking. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you think Barney is cute doesn't mean that I think he's cute too.
Cool, I got you.
And what's happening is, let me finish. People are being snowballed by imaging. It's imagery. The same, hold on, just like they come out, Benghazi has been at least two and a half years,
mm-hmm.
you know, since it happened.
Mm-hmm.
They came out and said that it was about a movie. Then Susan Rice went and she went around and they went and they movied this thing down, sent the man to jail and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden they come up and say, oh, guess what? They knew it was a terrorist attack and they knew it before it happened. Remember, this has been an illusion presidency. I have to agree with Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton called when he said this is nothing but a huge fairy tale. The Obama presidency has been just that. It has been a pile of illusions put together by a masterful team to make him win. Because look at how his imaging, you don't hear anything. How in the world can you have double digit of unemployment? How can you have a situation and the economy the way it is, and yet no one is coming out and crying foul?
EPA regulations.
You
banking
it,
regulations.
All of it, Jeff. You have to understand it, and you see Diva and Stanley fighting for him.
Rising electricity costs.
Doesn't matter.
Like he said he was going to do.
Doesn't matter. He's
my brother. I guess you're right.
He's an image of illusion. And hey, illusion. Yes, Stanley and Matt.
I want to ask a question of Diva and Stanley, and if I could just get the question out before they pummel me. Earlier in the show, I had mentioned that there's some blurbs about John Kerry releasing little parts and pieces of information about what happened in Benghazi, and it isn't helping Obama or Hillary. Now, let's just say that he winds up going with this, and this story is absolutely true. And he comes out with all this information about Obama's involvement with Benghazi, and it's damning information. So that's John Kerry coming out with this information against his fellow president. What will you guys think about Obama then, is my question.
Well, I would look at the information and what you're saying and everything, and I would judge it for what it is, and if it's true, it's true. That's it. I have no problem with being truthful. But the problem I have, is when we, Democrat, tells you that Republican, you're not better. And we come with George Bush and things like that. And I'm sorry. Wait, Jeff. when I come with George Bush, everybody tells you it's wrong what happened with the Iraq War. You're the only one saying we still could have gone. We should have still gone there. We had a reason to go there.
Yeah, you sure should have. You sure should have.
But everybody,
the price of it now.
Jeff, when we come with things like that, you sure should have. You have no openness at all. We can go
once again,
to you
once
as a
again,
Republican,
Sammy.
And you think you don't. What's the point? What's the point, Tracy? When we say things, it's wrong. But when he say things, it's perfectly right. There's no point.
Stanley,
we're never going to be in that court.
Stanley, I'm not telling you perfectly right. I'm telling you why I believe that we should have gone. Now you don't like that idea, but you're paying a hell of a price for it right now with Iran, and you're not going to win this one. Okay, because you can't now. You don't have anything going on. You're getting your people killed in Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan with Al-Qaeda that you said was on the run a year ago, and you have nothing to stand against Iran with now. Iran can do whatever they want to do. You can use those sanctions all you want. They're going to recoup while you're running those sanctions. They're going to get their nuclear weapon. And they will use it because they believe that they should, not because these people don't think like you. These aren't reasonable people.
Hold on. I've got a private call. Hold on.
Go ahead.
Hold on. I've got a private call coming in.
Can we all just hold hands together?
No, Matt. No.
Brown.
Hold on, Brown. No, it's not. I got a new private caller who just called in who has a private number. Hello.
How you doing, Tracy? What's up with you? How you doing, Brady?
Hey, how you doing, sweetie?
How you guys doing?
We're doing good. How are you?
I just came in for the last 5 minutes. Yeah, how you doing? Wonderful.
We're doing good.
Wonderful. Well, you guys are having a heated discussion here.
That
and a lot
new?
Of things run around. Yeah, exactly. Well, Obama already said that the buck stops at his table with Benghazi. If any information comes out, you know, we'll see what happens.
When did you hear him say that?
I'd like to know that one.
When did you hear him say that? He ain't no
well,
good
he said that
him.
During no. He said
that's
that
true.
During the debate. Hold on. He said that during the debates. And Romney, I mean, I heard all these quote-unquote Republicans talking about Benghazi, but Romney in the debates had his chance to question Obama, but he didn't stay focused. So
yes, he
all
did.
Of that's
he
over.
Did.
Yes, no, he didn't. He didn't.
Yes,
no, he didn't come back. No, when that reporter, when the reporter that was questioning him threw him off topic, he didn't stay focused. He could have said what Obama and repeated what Obama said. In his speech, he never called Benghazi specifically a terror attack. That's a fact. But
he never wanted to.
Focus.
No, they called
okay,
it tried
right,
to.
Right.
Remember, no, come on now. Let's give the devil his due. President Obama wasn't going to call it. He wasn't going to step. He ain't dumb.
He's not dumb at all.
Hey, Tracy, let me clarify. Let me clarify
well,
what the call
is. Well, I know he's not dumb.
Hold on.
Okay.
Go ahead, Matt.
I just want to verify something that the caller said, and he's right. Obama did say that the buck stopped with him. It wasn't at a debate. It was when he was questioned about Benghazi, and there was news conferences about that. I do remember him saying that, so that's true.
But it was also in the debate, dude, sir. So it was also in the debate.
Well, if that's
okay.
When the buck stopped, then tell me this. When he going to stop?
When's it
going to
stop there, then?
Yeah, it was also the same. Was it the same
well,
debate that
the... Well, that pleased Hillary up in the primaries because as Obama's saying that he everything's accepted with her and she's saying I really don't know about it, then that's going to free her up. Now, the reason why this may things may come out on Curry because Curry is on her quote-unquote list, her quote-unquote hit list because he has ambitions of being president. Now, that's what I think. The man is ambitious.
Who is?
Curry. Curry is still ambitious,
of course.
I think. Right. So, I don't think it's Benghazi type thing. Because I don't think while in office, I don't think as this general did, while they're in office, you're not going to, I don't think that's tasteful for while you're in office to attack someone who hired you. I'll go ahead and resign first.
Well, anyway, I hear you, and I'll say it like this. At least you made more sense than what has been argued heretofore, because, first of all, you have had no middle ground whatsoever on any negotiation, which is what made the Republicans say, we're not going to go quietly with anything he has to say, because, first of all, he's a far left left-wing ideologue that is destroying what we know as America. That's why the Republicans are against him, and I'm for them being against him. Why? Because they're stopping crazy stuff from happening that's going to encroach further and further upon my freedom. You just took over one-sixth of the economy with this health care law. Not only that, mm-hmm. they tapped the top end of what you could get paid by buying one of these very high-priced, very high deductible insurance policies at $49,000. What's going on with that? Okay, now, here you're at $49,000 total output for something that costs more than everything else was, going to cost the country $1.5 trillion a year to run, when they could have given you a health savings account for a whole lot less than what they even built the first non-working website for. What are they doing? Wake up. This is not any common ground. There is any no. There was no common interest. There's not one Republican thing in the health care law. And so stop this craziness saying some asinine, like he had common ground on the health care law. Not one Republican vote went into that law.
Hey, look, would you?
No, I take that back. Olympia Snow. Olympia Snow vote.
Hold on. Does the majority have to have common ground with the minority? Does the majority have to take care of the minority? So what are you saying? Hold on. Since the Democrats as a party, I agree with you 100%, as a party, they're totally responsible for this bill, because as a party, from the president to both houses, chambers of the Congress, both chambers of the mm-hmm. Congress, both were Democrats, and they passed it. So, but they had a majority of this country at that present time.
But
right?
Again,
Let me say
it to you this way, and I'm gonna and you can mark my words. You can say on January 14th, 2014, Tracy Winbush said this. We are supposed to be a country that comes together and coalesces from the left and from the right and governs in the middle for that which is good for the people and all people.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay, Tracy. Oh.
Hold on.
Okay.
Let me finish. What is happening right now with this administration as well as with this Congress, especially with the nuclear option that they put inside of the Senate, you have not seen anything yet. Yes, when we sit down to compromise, me and Diva and Stanley and Jeff, my God, are supposed to go inside of a room and come up with a decision based upon ideas that come from both sides, both left and right, as far apart as we are. And what President Obama and what this administration as well as the Congress has done is that they made it so one-sided. Remember, President Obama walked into a meeting with Republicans on his first meeting and says elections have consequences. He said it strictly. He spoke strictly into the eyes of John McCain, and then what he did was, and so that's not how you coalesce and or cooperatively work together with anyone. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say that everything that Republicans did was right. That's uh-uh. not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But what I am saying is you have a bunch of egotistical males, because ain't no women in this fight, trying to come together and make a cake.
Nancy Pelosi was there.
Yeah, but she's a man. But that don't count.
That's true.
And what's happening is these people are making decisions, whether it be President Barack Obama or Harry Reid and or what's his name, or John Boehner. And they have egos. And no, Republicans had nothing to do with the health care. So don't say that they did, because they did not. Not one idea inside of that health care law has one Republican conservative and or outside thought. And I think they took Olympia Snow out for a ride and swung her outside the plane, her and what's his name who lost?
Kucinich
up in Cleveland.
That is not true. The ACA does not have any type of Republican or conservative idea. Because
no,
going
not one.
For, let me finish. Because the ideal at first from the campaign trail to where he first got inaugurated, it was supposed to be some type of universal health care.
Like
then it's supposed to have been some type of public option deal.
Diva, hold on,
let me
that
finish.
That was not Republican.
You made a statement.
That, no, you are getting
right,
ready to tell
it,
a CNN,
you
MSNBC
guys can tell lies,
fallacy.
Nobody else can't refute them. Okay.
Diva, you are you're getting regurgitated MSNBC and a CNN fallacy. Because the reason why they took out the public options was because you could not get the Democrats reelected in the areas and they would not vote for it.
Thank you.
But Tracy, the problem I have, I'm listening to what you're saying. The problem is when you were in government, Republican, you didn't do nothing about health care.
Okay.
Let me finish.
Let's dialogue, Stanley.
But the
dialogue.
Wow, now it's
that's
dialogue.
That's what I'm saying. So I'll say, Stanley,
no,
we can see that point. But the thing is you can't negate that we brought up the health savings account, and it was soundly defeated by both parties. Go ahead.
Jeff, let me finish. I can't believe you. When we talk Democratic, when I'm talking, I'm letting you finish. Let me finish. And let Diva finish whatever she has to say, too.
No, shut
that's
up.
Called, that's called respect.
Shut
that's
up.
Called
no.
Respect.
No respect
no,
here.
No, shut up here. We don't say shut up. Shut up's a bad word.
So that's the whole point.
You guys are all comedy.
Okay, and your point
blaming.
Is?
I'll mute myself. My point, no, go
okay.
ahead. Continue on with the joke.
You're blaming Obama for trying to do something in health care when you've done nothing when you had power.
You're
nothing.
Right. What do you want me to tell you?
I'm going to jump on somebody who's trying to do something when you've done nothing. You should be ashamed of yourself, first of
but
all.
But you're lying, though, Stanley. It's
you
not
should
true.
Be, I don't care. You should be ashamed of yourself. You've done nothing. At least he's trying to do something. When everybody, Democrat, told you we have a problem with health care.
That's
actually not
incorrect.
True.
What did you do? Tell me what you did, Jeff. Tell me. I'm listening. What did Republicans do?
Republicans brought up the health savings account, and it was defeated. They also brought up what we did pass was the Medicare Part 2 that 2D that Bush put in place, and also they tried to stop the make sure that all you know that you could have all across the nation that you could sell health care accounts so that whoever was the best and the lowest plan would be able to be bought by somebody and more economically. They tried to bring market forces into it. They were defeated. They were resisted, and they weren't able to implement it.
They
got one out of three, but that wasn't enough. And and frankly, they didn't push hard enough in my estimation. And so I concede
right.
the point that they did not come through when they had the chance to come through.
Let me tag on to that and say, go ahead, Matt. You got to put things in context. The question is, should not be, well, what did you guys do? It's what did you try to do? And Republicans tried to do quite a bit, and soundly defeated in many. Hold on, let me finish this. They were soundly defeated in many areas. So it's not that we didn't try to do something. Now, when you say, well, the Democrats did something, what did you do? Well, in our estimation, and by the way things look, what the Democrats did was pass a health care law that's destroying the health care system in America.
Healthcare.
So that's
hold
what
on.
Democrats
Hold on. Let me
did.
Just throw this into the – and then I'll let Diva and my private caller and Stanley talk. Let me say this. What we did do, we did not do. When Republicans Medicare Part D, I don't like, and that's just my personal opinion. That I just don't like it, and it's a bad way of going. And it was a bad program. And Bush brought it through, Congress passed, and whatever happened, it was bad. But as far as dealing with health care as they should have when they were in office, Republicans did not do, and the health savings account, all that stuff, did not come in until after the presidency.
Thank you. Finally, thank you, Tracy. Finally.
So I'm just going to say that. And don't get me wrong. And let me say that, and they should have done it during the Bush administration.
Absolutely.
And they did
Thank
not.
You.
And I'm not going. Hold on. And I'm not going to say that they did, because it was just dumb stuff that they did, and it was bad. And we need to give the devil his due. And no, they did not. And they didn't deal with people issues. They dealt with all they talked about tax reform. And because they talked about tax reform, they talked about business taxes, and they talked about those kinds of things. They never dealt with the social issues that people needed to hear, because you know taxes have a lot to do with you, but you don't see them if you are part of that 47% who always get your money back. But you don't understand the reason why you don't get the raise and the reason why you don't get the job and the reason why the economy is the way it is because of taxes and regulation, and that's because they do a bad, bad job of selling what they're saying. But you have to also say this on the Democrat side. President Obama, when he put this measure through, the reason why there were changes inside of the Affordable Health Care Act or Obamacare had nothing to do with Republican outcry. It had everything to do with getting it passed before the tide turned. That's why you have people like Nancy Pelosi standing up in front of a microphone saying, we can't find out what's in it until we pass it. That's why you say they jammed it down the people's throats, even when people didn't like it then, because no one understood it and no one read it. And it was a bad piece of legislation, and it's still a bad piece of legislation no matter how you slice it. And the reason why it's not a single-payer system is because Democrats have to get reelected too. And there were key Democrats across this nation who could not get reelected if it had gone through the way it was originally written, and so they had to revise it. But it had nothing to do with Republican outcry and or input. Because remember, elections have consequences.
Okay.
And so, you know, whether it, just because the light comes on and I as a Republican get to enjoy the light that came on doesn't mean that I actually asked for the light to be turned on or you turned the light on because I was in the room.
I have a question for you, Tracy. What district did Evan Bayh, Blanche Lincoln, I believe it was also Max Baucus. What districts, what type of districts do those people come from?
They have dual districts. They have districts that are recut. And those districts have Republican as well as Democrat constituents. They're not solid red or solid blue. See, Tim Ryan, he's in a solid blue state. So he can go down the street buck naked, and as long as he ain't running with a little boy, he's safe. He is in a solid blue state, a solid blue congressional area. But you have others who are with what you call purple, which means it can swing at any given. So if you go ask John Boccheri, who used to be a congressman down in whose district was that? What area was that, Jeff?
I don't
Boccheri,
know.
That, remember he came in? He voted for it and he lost?
That Akron area.
If you go ask Arthur Davis, who swung around and decided he was going to support Romney, ask him. If you go ask some of these guys who were Democrats, the reason why they lost is because they voted for something that their constituents did not want, and they couldn't be saved by the administration.
No,
and at no,
Evan Bayh decided not to run again.
No, Diva, we're not talking about the people that didn't decide not to run. We're talking about the people who lost. Remember, the House flipped from the Democrat to Republican after this. You understand that, right? There are people that lost their shirt. Based on the – remember, they run every 2 years, and they lost their seat. They lost $167,000 a year of unassociated, unaccountable dollars. You have to understand
who are,
that.
Who are the people that lost, and what district John, is there?
Diva, go back and look. John Boccheri lost. Arthur Davis lost. And I can't name you all the congressional seats that lost right now, but they lost.
There's a lot of people that lost.
And that's how John Boehner became the Speaker of the House. Remember, it was switched from Nancy Pelosi to John Boehner?
Hold on. But some of these districts, are these districts solid blue or are they mixed? Or are
no,
they
they're mixed.
Like
they're purple.
Red and purple.
They're purple.
Okay.
John Boehner is in it. Diva, Tim Ryan is my congressman. He is in the 17th or 13th? 17th congressional district.
It used to be. Yeah.
He is in a what you call a solid blue area.
So why didn't he re-election?
Because he's in a blue area, which means no matter what he does, he can pick boogers and eat them, and they're going to vote for him because it's blue. But then you have what you call Bill Johnson, who is in the 6th congressional district, which goes down the Ohio River. He is in a
purple
district.
I'm just trying to understand what you're saying. I'm just trying to understand what you're saying. You're saying because the ACA is such a bad bill, and Democrats voted for this bill,
their congressional district is made up. I'll tell you who else lost. Bill Johnson beat, what's his name? Strickland.
Charlie Wilson.
Are you saying Democrats who tend to have
Republicans that may vote for them lost?
Yes.
Only if they voted. That's all I needed to know.
So
but remember, so you also had Democrats, Diva, but you also had Democrats that did not like the bill either. Remember, just because I'm a Republican doesn't mean I stand by every piece of Republican legislation that goes through.
Crazy. I'm just trying to get an understanding of what exactly you're saying here. So liberals like the bill. So any congressman that was in a liberal district was okay.
It's not about a liberal or conservative.
Okay.
Listen, there are districts in America that there are congressional districts that are solid blue. They have very, very seldom liberal and conservative. Okay.
Blue is always Democrat, Diva.
Blue is always Democrat. Red is always Republican. Purple is always swing.
Right, but if you have someone in a mixed district, in a purple district, they align with more conservative views.
No, Diva, that's not what we're saying. It means they
swing. I know
swing.
That's not what you're saying, but I'm trying
Ohio,
to get a clarification.
I know, but
as
you won't
to
listen
to
Diva.
Democrats who
Ohio, Ohio is a swing state. So you never know if it's going to go red or if it's going to go blue.
Right, Tracy.
Correct?
I get that. What I'm trying to understand is you said that there are Democrats who lost their congressional seats because they voted for the ACA.
Correct.
But it seems to me that the ones who are from very blue districts won.
Correct.
Those who are
It's not because of the Affordable Health Care Act. It's because of how they vote.
Well, they voted for it. Right?
No, Diva, no. Just because they don't like it doesn't mean they're going to vote for a Republican.
No, that's not what I'm asking.
When you're in a solid blue district, you are a solid blue person. So no matter who comes up in front of you, no matter what they do, you're going to align with a Democrat, no matter what.
So you can be anti-abortion,
and they can start killing babies in the middle of the street, and you're still going to vote for that person.
You said that there are Democrats who lost their congressional race because they voted for the ACA. So I'm just trying to figure out and clarify which Democrats and which districts lost.
All the ones that lost.
Go back to the
every last one that lost because of ACA.
That's what I'm looking up.
Just look and see who lost back then, and you answer your own question.
Yeah.
They lost because of ACA because guess what? The ACA was never popular with the people of the United States. Not one time.
From what I'm looking at, those congressional districts that are purple, that have red in it, those are ones that lost. I'm not seeing anyone who lost from a solid blue area.
Diva, that's what we're trying to tell you. People who live in solid blue areas never lose.
I'm trying to figure out how you guys are saying that they lost because this is such a bad Democratic bill.
They didn't lose because it was such a bad Democratic law.
They lost because people who find themselves Republicans.
Yeah, please.
Because
she's
like
way over her head. She ain't getting it.
May I ask
you a question? Sure.
Okay, when it comes to you guys in Ohio, because like you said, you're one of those swing states, and I wish Maryland would be a swing state too, you know, have not having biases, because when you're a swing state, the candidates definitely pay more attention to your state, and they try to, you know, make promises to that state. But when it comes to the president general elections, do the electoral colleges vote? Does it go the candidate has the most congressional district wins or popular vote in Ohio?
It depends on
how. What are your elections rules?
Listen to what I'm saying. I'm going to tell you. It depends on how your political party votes. Okay? The Republicans vote and the Democrats vote. It depends on how they vote in their bylaws of who's going to get what vote. Sometimes it's winner takes all, and sometimes it's based on congressional district. It all depends on how they vote in their bylaws.
It has to be either or.
It's either or. It changes based upon your executive committee for your political party in your state.
No, all political parties is represented in the state. What I'm saying is that some states, right? In some states, you have different counties, which is congressional districts of that state, with their representatives. When it comes to a presidential election, if a candidate, they will take those states, and the candidate that wins the majority of the congressional districts in that state gets the electoral college vote.
You didn't hear me. Every state has what they call an executive body based on Republican and Democrat. So you vote for your central committee and your executive committee based upon you in your area. You don't even know who these people are, and you vote for them based upon your party. We go down to Columbus and or your state capital to a meeting, and we decide whether it's going to be winner takes all or whether it's going to be split by congressional seats.
Okay,
and every state does it.
But hold on a second. Hold on a second.
Hold on, Brown. Wait a minute. Let him finish his question. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm trying to get some education here. I don't know. I'm just trying to get some education. Thank you. I appreciate this conversation. Okay. So you're saying to me that every year, I was going to get this straight, every year,
every 4 years,
go to the Capitol, every 4 years before the general election, the members of the state of Ohio decide whether they're going to go in the popular vote, which means whoever gets the most listen, I'm not finished.
I know, but and I keep on trying to tell you, no, it's not the people in the state of Ohio. It's a small elected body of people that you vote for know.
Tracy, you're not listening to my question. I got the body. I got the body, the board. I'm saying, what decision does the board make? And I'm letting you know, it's two situations how a president gets the electoral college's votes for that state. Either, let's say, Ohio has congressional districts, it's all red, but cities like Columbus and other states are blue congressional districts. Well, when the state comes out, the popular vote, let's say 100,000 people vote for Obama and 50,000, let's say 97,000 people voted for Romney, right? Now, they will look and says, well, Romney has won more congressional districts than Obama, even though Obama had more popular vote.
Separate
it. I'm just saying. And then some states would say we would just go on a popular number of votes and not go on congressional seats. That's what I'm saying.
What I'm saying is your electoral college is based upon your congressional seats plus two. Okay.
We go on popular vote. Whoever gets the popular vote
Listen. The popular vote is still going to be by your congressional seats plus two. That's what makes up the Electoral College. The Electoral College, so in the state of Ohio.
No, man.
Ma'am, I voted, ma'am. I
know,
voted for Obama
said,
in 08,
dude,
ma'am.
I know,
but
and
every
listen,
state is different because every state
no,
is
no, your electoral, no, listen. In Maryland.
No.
How many congressional seats do you have?
Ran, but the electoral college is the same. Every state governs how the elects, how the elects.
Not your electoral college. Not your electoral college.
But no, I never said that. But the states decide how, whether it's going to go on congressional districts or it's going to go on a popular vote in the states. That's what I'm
no.
saying.
Not for the electoral college.
Okay.
Not for the primary.
That's
it's
why
always
we need a voter education.
It's always, Doc, it's always
that's why
the
we
same.
Need voter education. It's different in every state, though.
Well, this is
I'm
true.
That's what I'm trying to say. Listen, I'm telling you, if you look at Maryland, whatever, if you look at your congressional seats, plus two, that'll give you the number of congressional seats that you have, which will give you your electoral college number. Whoever wins the popular vote in Maryland wins all of the electoral college number. Every congressional
seat
in the state of
Ohio. That's the answer.
In,
guys,
in the
now,
state
now,
of
guys,
Ohio.
Guys, work your way around
okay,
that
now,
one.
Can you listen to me? No,
in
no,
the state
I
of Ohio,
that.
We
okay,
do the same thing.
Listen.
In the state of
oh,
Ohio.
No, hold on. Okay, now listen. The reason why I'm bringing this up, Tracy, I want to make this, because they were talking about, like that board that you said that you were talking about, they looked at and seen that in this election, if you look at your, don't look at, I'm not talking about the popular vote, please don't talk about it. If you look at the congressional district polls, Romney won almost damn near 80% of your congressional victory. They're saying that the states, instead of going on the popular vote, all the votes tied together, they're going to go in congressional districts individually, and Romney would have won Ohio. So, like I said, the states can look at it and say, we're not going to go on total popular vote. We're only going on congressional districts. That's what I'm saying.
And what I'm saying to you is they will not. They are trying to change the Electoral College. And they're trying to change the Electoral College.
No. Jeff, I'm not talking about Electoral College votes. I'm talking about how – what governs how
what
does,
I'm telling you is you're talking about a move you're talking about a movement that has been going it goes on every 4 years that they want to change
okay,
how you elect the president.
Do it. That,
no
right,
the board can't
you,
do
right,
that.
That's my point.
The board can't do
so
that
saying,
and neither that has to be done legislatively.
The board can change this. No, you
no.
said no. Each state controls their election.
You can't change
you
can't change
it.
You can't change
well,
that
the board going to the Columbus for each as 4 years.
The board the Columbus
you
the one the because one is different. The primary your primary numbers go by your congressional seats, but your electoral college goes by your congressional seats plus two.
No,
those
but
numbers.
I'm saying,
it,
Jeff, I'm
you
letting
don't
her know they're trying to do the general and the primary the same
didn't
thing going on congressional districts, Jeff. That's
and
all
I'm saying you can't, and you just can't change that by a small group of people. That is, they're trying to. They don't want the Electoral College to elect the president anymore because of how it played out in the past election. And they're feeling as though the way things are going, they will always overshoot by the what they call the urban populaces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how they do. They get the more tightly packed inner cities. That's how Obama won the election both times. They make up these things to make sure they herd you to the polls and they get you excited to vote except when they don't need you, and they don't bother you when they don't need you. Just like this past year.
Who's they?
The
Jeff,
Democrats.
Progressives?
The Democrats. How about that?
All right.
Okay,
just want to get clear.
The far left wing Democrats. They'll get you all excited to go vote. And you're the voter suppression. Oh, the president's Republicans. This, that, and other. No truth in what they say. Maybe a little bit in some things. Because I can't tell you that all Republicans are good people or anything like that. Nor can I tell you that all Democrats are bad people. Because they're not. But the thing is you have a common culture of two things going on with Democrats. First of all, they buy your votes with government program, number one. They also, number two, they run minorities by keeping them in certain areas and living in certain areas and never giving them the opportunity to get out. They just pay you enough to stay right where you're at. That's why you cling to your inner cities and say, y'all turn your back on the inner cities. Y'all turn your back on us, your people, your neighborhood. I don't own
inner city. I live out in the suburbs in a nice piece of land that gains in property value every single year.
But you don't.
Who don't?
I don't.
But, yeah, but I'm the same.
My house, right. My house was the same amount as it was when you first bought it.
But my point is this. That's right now what you're dealing with.
It's inner city.
It's the inner city.
It's inner city.
I don't live in the inner city, and I don't want to live in the inner city. But the bottom line is, if the mindset is you're a sellout if you move outside.
Well, you are.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. I'm not a sellout.
That's the
I'm
mindset. That's the mindset with whom, Jeff?
That's the mindset with black
people.
Inner city voters.
What black people do you know? Let me say something. I've been very quiet.
Tons.
What black people do you know? Because I don't know of any that truly begrudge someone for doing well and having enough money to buy themselves a home in the suburbs. Does that make you?
I don't know.
I really don't know anybody that speaks that way.
Yeah, you're in California. It's a little bit different, maybe.
But you know, but I've traveled all over.
Brown,
and I don't know any, and I speak to people from all over.
Brown,
and I don't know anyone that speaks that way.
Let's ask
Mike a question. Mike lives and is from the inner city in Baltimore. Okay, he was the gentleman that was just speaking about the Electoral College. Mike,
mm-hmm.
how would you and Mike, I'm sure you know people that moved out of the city and live out in the suburbs. Do you call them sellouts, or do you know anyone that calls them sellouts? Because maybe they're people that are. Maybe I'm just out of touch. Earth to all facts. Come in, all facts.
Mike's gone.
I've never been called a sellout for moving into the suburbs. I don't want to live in an inner city, but no one's ever called
me a sellout. I don't mean to nitpick you, but I don't know anyone that really thinks like that.
Let me say it this way. You have to realize it's called the crab in the barrel mentality, and they may not call you, quote-unquote, a sellout.
I've never heard of this concept before. You're really enlightening me now.
You've never heard of crabs in a barrel?
Of course I have. I'm being facetious. You're not telling me anything that I haven't heard before.
There are people that don't glory in your successes.
And we wanted another station before we were on here that was more urban than this station. And believe you me, we had this discussion several times. And once again, it's just I don't know why it's like that. I had relatives that wouldn't come to my house. They said
no,
they were afraid
Jeff.
To come.
Jeff, they don't call you a sellout because you moved to the suburbs. They call you a sellout because your views are so far from theirs.
Don't listen to Jeff King. Don't listen to
him. I'm not talking about Jeff King.
I am. That is not why, because before they knew my views, they were telling me this. I wasn't on the radio except for 7 years ago. Okay, nobody knew my views or anything of the kind. You don't know me, so don't talk on me.
I've come across
I'm telling you what I know. I'm telling
show.
You my, Diva, I'm telling you my life experience. Stop it.
But let me say this.
I know plenty of people who've known you before this show, and they tell me all the time, Jeff, not the same person he was. His views are so far right. That's why they consider you that way.
Diva, I have to say this, and I'm going to be very, very honest. There are a few people that actually call me a sellout, but I have to say there are a lot of people who support what I do.
Me too.
On Democrat and Republican sides, and they'll tell me in a heartbeat that I'm the only Republican that they like, and I appreciate that. So I don't always get called a sellout.
Me neither.
But I have had my feelings hurt for my political views and or for my stance on what I believe. And it's okay. It ain't nothing wrong with it. But I do have a problem when we don't get to go and to stretch. See, what's wrong with our education, what's wrong with our young people, what's wrong with our community, what's wrong with our economic development is they keep us stagnant. So they never let me grow. They never let me learn. When we talk about the Electoral College, when we talk about the caucuses and the primary process, they don't really educate you so that you know how to work within the system. They always keep us on the outside. So, Brown, no, I haven't been called a sellout in a number of years. And it's okay. Because I'm not – all I want to see is I want to see people be able to grow and be able to do what they choose to do, let their children live where they want to live, and so to make it better. Because I want, and I'm going to take a break because when I come back, it's a good segue into something. Because today, tomorrow is Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
Birthday.
That's his actual birthday. Yeah.
And in Detroit and in Atlanta right now, they got Martin Luther King twerkers, and people are twerking to Martin Luther King. And this is what I'm saying. People are going out of their mind for people who died for us. When I look at Malcolm X and Martin Luther King and Medgar Evers and Rosa Parks and all of the unsung, unnamed people who got their butts whipped, the freedom riders, white and black, the people who walked down in Selma in Alabama, all these things that happened so that I could have the freedom to do what I do today. Yet we won't take the time to get the education that we deserve and that we need so that we can be a part of the process and not a part of the problem. I'll be right back.
Everyone. Oh, bless
she
her.
She on commercial break. Yeah, she's not right.
Bless her political
speech. I don't mean no harm. She's not right. Listen, she does not understand what I'm saying. I'm never talking about the electoral college. Y'all laughing to think I know. I understand. Well, I'm clearly what I'm saying.
I'm
laughing because she couldn't grasp what you were saying. Like, she
It's different. Listen, I'm not talking about the Electoral College. I know the Electoral College number is still going to go to the president. I'm letting you know each state decides how the election is going to be run. That's what they fight about, voter laws. So we've already done, the federal government says, listen, you have to have elections, but the states, you decide what polls, you decide how the voters are going to vote, you decide all the tally-ups, but you have to do a certain number of things. What I'm saying is, it's factually, this is what Ohio is trying to do. They saw that those congressional districts, if you look at Ohio State, they have different congressional districts. These congressional districts are like royal areas, but they all voted for Romney.
What they're trying to do is not going to work.
Listen to me. Hold up. Like Cleveland, Cincinnati, Youngstown, all those big cities where the blacks voted in large numbers, that took them over. They went on popular vote. They tallied all the votes, all the people in the total of Ohio, and they said who got the more, and they gave the electoral college numbers to Obama. But
that's how they've always done it.
That's how they always
do it in every state.
With the exception. Yeah, they do it like that in every state.
Can y'all listen?
Okay.
Can y'all please listen to what I got to say, 30 seconds. Don't you know the board that she was talking about that goes down there? They were saying that board was thinking about, and they can change, instead of going on the popular vote, they will go on which candidate won the most congressional districts in that state. And not
I heard that what you're saying.
Vote.
I like how you brought that up, and she could not
okay,
really
so that
answer
is a fact.
You.
So
you
if she can't grasp that, if she can't grasp that, and that's what the state is trying to do, and the Republicans
no,
trying to
she
do
can't
that,
grasp
the Republicans. Okay, so
she,
what?
She can grasp it. She
I'm
just don't
no
want the truth out there.
I don't even talk politics that much, and I know that. But
she
okay,
don't want
I mean,
the truth out there because
well,
she
right.
don't want. She cannot say, look, because of what
no
happened in 2008 and 2012, we are now going to change the way the vote is because Romney won.
I'm
if you look
smarter
at Ohio,
than both Jeff and Tracy put together.
When
if you,
you
look at Ohio has a lot of rural districts, a lot of red districts.
Exactly.
We have more red districts than we have blue
took
districts.
Obama over in Obama in the big cities. It took them over.
Exactly.
In
so they want to change that to where now it's, no, going by who won the most districts in the area. I picked up what you said about that, and I was trying to see if she was going to answer.
Congressional districts, exactly. Well,
yeah, that's not
going to
work. That's not going to get voted in. That's not going to happen.
But it doesn't, but in Ohio,
well, I'm letting you know
we the people don't
right,
vote on
not,
that.
They try all kind of things. It's not going to happen. simply because.
But here's the thing, Brown.
There's going to have to be a vote in the legislature. It's just not going to happen.
Well, I used to live
in
Ohio.
But our legislator is Republican. Our legislator is Republican.
I lived in Ohio, too, for a year in Cincinnati.
But our legislator has changed over time. It's now very red. Our legislative body is now very red. So if the governing board for elections decided that's something they want to do, with the
governing board of elections
have
can't
right
decide
now?
That by themselves.
I think Jeff
that's going to have to go. That's going to have to go through the state legislature, and it's going to have
right,
to be
yeah,
signed by the governor, and it's not going to happen.
But we have a Republican governor, and we
it's
have
not
a
gonna
our legislator
all right.
is our legislative. Hold on, our legislative body is majority Republican. Our General Assembly. The majority is held in both houses by the Republicans.
Yeah, well, I can't see it happening. And if it does happen, then it happens.
Well, I never said it was going to happen. I was just asking her about her state, and I'm saying
well,
it
she
could
wouldn't
happen
let you
because
finish.
The
she, they're not letting anybody finish talking. They're like warriors.
Right, because they're coming in the conversation thinking, I never come in the conversation thinking I'm smarter than nobody because I would get myself hurt.
I do.
Well, I'll make myself look like a fool because I don't know everything.
Yeah, I don't know
but
everything
But I'm glad
either.
You guys understood. But real
but
quick,
I
want to bring this up. Imagine if George Bush would have passed because she admitted that they were talking about privatizing. He was trying to privatize her, Social Security. Imagine
yes.
if that would have happened and the stock market would have crashed. That would have been stole. You know how many, and probably Madoff still probably be in business because all that money would have been tucked back in there. Just imagine if he would have did it. You talking about health care? Come on now.
And they still think that that's a good idea.
Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Back and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'll probably continue this on tomorrow. You're listening to Tom Brown from Funkin' for Jamaica. I got an old school thing going on right now, so you have to deal with it. Tomorrow is the actual celebration or birthday of Martin Luther King. When we talk about elections, we talk about process, we talk about procedure, we talk about all these things, and we disagree. We're Democrat, we're Republican, we're all this. And you know, I read an article where there is going to be a place where they're going to outlaw. You can't bust a sag more than 6 inches or 3 inches below your waist, behind your buttocks, or something on that order. And I have a problem. You know, Sticks and I got into it yesterday about the overreach of government and where. Who's going to be doing what and where, you know, is that, you know, there's too many laws. Alabama called in yesterday talking about there was too many laws and all they're trying to do is regulate. And this is my problem. We are allowing the government to take the responsibility over our lives that we should be taking for our own selves and for our own families and for our own children. And then I read another article, and I hear another article about Bernice King, and she is appalled how they have – they got parties coming up to celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday, but they call twerking parties. And so they have animated Martin Luther King, blinged out, pimped to the side, twerking. And we sitting up here not understanding that we're being played because we are allowing our own to become something that they shouldn't become and not taking responsibility for that which God has given us. 782, your mic is on.
What's going on, Tracy and friends? It's good to hear your voice, Miss Tracy.
Hey, Rick. What's
going
on, Doc?
How you feel?
Man,
I'm having issues.
Folks
you
being stupid, and I'm having issues.
Well, I don't know if you're ever going to get rid of the stupid, Trace. The stupid is going to be with you until we die.
Stupid is stupid. Duh. I don't understand. How could we allow some things happen? Why do you need a law that's going to make you pull your pants up?
Well, because the saying is what it is. The law is for the lawless, and as long as we remain to be that lawless type of person will always need someone to govern how we behave and what we do.
Can you say whip that tail?
No, it's not good enough, Trace.
It doesn't exist anymore. Let me have a baby. Let me tell y'all what it's going to be like.
The kids can call the police.
Call 999 if you want to, because you're going to go live with the 999 people. I'm serious. I'm from the old school. I brought you in. I'll take you out. You can call 999 if you want to, but I'm going to pull it out your behind before they get here. And then you can go live with them.
Sounds good.
Ain't it sounding good? Because if
really
you train them up before they're
good.
Five, they'll never dial a phone number.
That's a real practical and logical solution, Tracy.
Absolutely. If you train them before they're five, they will never know the difference between 999 and 911.
Because
I have been stupid in my life. Absolutely.
Well, we've all been a little dumb. Some of us are here. This is where I have a problem with that. Now, your statement is a very general statement, and it's you're in the category of 40 and over. Now, what I have a problem with is there is that age group of 40 and over that will not admit to how dumb they were and assume that their ignorance can go unchecked. Now, that's what I have a problem with, Trace.
Listen, they got Martin Luther King twerking. They got Martin Luther King twerking.
Well, let him twerk.
Do you realize Martin died so you could be a part of the process, and right now all you are is a part of a problem? And then you want to go and you're going to take a day off. We got to have Black Pride. They're going to put us back in chains. They're trying to take away our rights. You're just dumb as a cluck.
Well, let us go ahead and be dumb, Trace. I mean, it's not going to change anything.
Can't let you be dumb.
Well, for us to let you be dumb is death to all of us. So it's like, you know, you have to speak out, and Tracy and I both believe in God. So more or less, he said to cry aloud, spare not, and let people know what's going on. Why? Because you don't want blood to be on your hands for not warning people. You're warning people about what's going on.
This ain't no warning.
It's a warning
this
for me.
This ain't no warning for people. People ought to know better.
They don't, though, Tracy.
Listen, how you gonna have all these preachers mobilizing the vote and carrying y'all to the polls to go vote because they're trying to suppress your vote, but they can't tell you to take care of your kids, keep your legs closed, and go get a job? And don't make
people
a baby you can't take care of.
Tracy, people that don't have what is seemingly common in most parts of the world, which is called common sense, people that don't have that don't understand the faultiness of the decisions that they make.
But did you hear what I said?
I'm with you.
No, no, no. Did you hear what I said? I said, you got all this mobilize the vote. They're going to put y'all back in chains, so we're going to stand outside the Board of Elections and sing church songs looking like a bunch of crazy people because you can't get in, and you'll stand in line for hours at a time. They're going to bus you to the polls when all you had to do is fill out a piece of paper and walk it in. Yet they can't tell you to pull your pants up, don't make a baby you cannot take care of, go get a job and get an education.
Yeah, I mean it's very oxymoronic, Tracy. It really is.
You're speaking of black folks. Do you really think it's that simple?
Yeah, it's that simple.
Yep, I sure do because I watch it happen every time.
If they can control you for 1 month every 4 years, they can definitely control you for the rest of them.
Who is they?
Oh, it's your leadership. You know the invisible leadership that tells you they don't put y'all back in chains if you don't do what
I
say.
Who are you talking about? Who is they?
Did you not hear Vice President Biden?
I am asking who they are.
President Biden on the news saying they're going to put y'all back in chains?
And he got away with it.
So because
by
he
talking
said
black
that,
dialect,
because
mocking
he said
you,
that, because he said that, people are listening to it as though it were the words of God, according to you.
Oh, yeah, and they are. Uh-huh. They sure are.
They did.
They commented
how
on it.
How else do you get them mobilized to go do what you want them to do when they end up in double-digit unemployment?
Right.
You know, the worst part about it all is when you actually make those words come true, when the opposition makes those words come true. Because whether a person stands in line, and you feel like, you could just fill out a ballot, no one should have to stand in line for 3, 4, 7 hours just to vote.
You're stupid if you do, Diva. You deserve to stand in line 7 hours if you do.
But as we were talking about Ohio, it's good that those people in Cleveland stood in that line for 7 and 8 hours to vote for their candidate. And they took Obama over. They took him over. I mean, they're right.
I told you I stood in line for 7 hours in 2008 to vote.
They took him over. The popular vote in Ohio took him over.
People have been standing in line to vote. Hold on.
Good, Matt.
In the 1800s, lines were much longer than 7 hours long. People stood in, because that's all they did. There were no ballots that could be mailed out. Nobody absentee balletted.
Let
me tell you what's wrong with the voting process. We need to go back to one day.
I agree with that.
Totally agree.
We should have never tried to make it easy for everybody. We should have left it on one day. If you can't get there on that day, too bad, get out. If you're dead, too bad.
Well, if your boss does not allow you to take the time to go vote, you're
dead. You made it easy for everybody, Tracy.
You have to
move
it to Saturday. Listen, when the Ohio legislative body tried to expand these days, not one Democrat voted for it. So let's just get that straight. But then when they tried to make it to where it's cohesive, we should have left it on one day. We should have left it alone, made it that Tuesday. If you can't get to the polls, too bad.
Trying
to make it easy for everybody. Now you've made it into a colluded mess, and now it's just chaotic because all you've done is turn it into a political chaos.
Tracy, it's not colluded mess as long as the people still vote. They have a
They're not voting.
And as long as all the – well, that's not because of the days. Because they don't want to vote. Now, Tracy, now, look, that's different. That's like you talking about, quote-unquote, people who are in the line that don't want to work. Now, you're giving them excuses not to vote because it's going to spread no days. No,
tell me
no,
something.
No, Tracy, no.
They're making it easier in the day. With 30 days to vote in Ohio, am I correct? It's about 30?
35.
Okay, 35 days to vote. Why the hell is anybody staying in line for 7 hours?
I don't know.
Why
if you
stand
in line for 7 to 8 hours to vote,
30 days,
listen to me. With 35 days to vote, if you stand in line for 7 hours, you deserve to.
It didn't matter.
You had an option.
You still had to stand in line for long hours because they only had one.
Viva, how long did you stand in 2012?
2012, I didn't early vote. I voted in the rural district. I voted in the rural district.
How long did it take you to vote? How long did it take you to vote in 2012?
2012, it took me maybe an hour.
Why?
An hour?
Why?
Let's see. They changed the place. They added more voting machines this time. Yeah, it was. Because the place that they had before was much smaller, and they didn't have as many voting machines that they had this time.
All right. I
ain't going to call you a liar, because I don't know if you're lying or not. But all I know is it's very, very isolated.
When did you pass this bill for 30 days of voting? When did you pass this, Ohio?
It was 7 years ago, 10 years ago.
Yeah,
oh my God!
10 years
ago.
I've been
okay,
working.
So your citizens are used to it. So okay, well,
we've been voting early. I mean, we've been voting early for a long time.
The statistics. The statistics say that in the 2012 election, 61 million people voted for Obama, 58 million people voted for Romney, and 94 million. Eligible voters didn't vote at
did
all.
Did not vote. That's
all right.
All
right, Tracy and gentlemen. Now you guys are – all right, look, check this out, Tracy. Now, you're talking about and Tracy and Jeff, I think you guys both know my stance on this. I'm not opposed to voting, but I do think that there is a strategic plot and plan by the government to immobilize us. See, you're talking about the pastors and the preachers trying to mobilize us, but I think – one of the greatest strategic plans of our government was to have us to go and vote, because what that vote does to me, this is my perception, my opinion, so you guys can, you know, fuss about it after I'm done. I think what it does is it takes away the strength of our personal numbers when it comes to challenging government, because one of the things in the Declaration of Independence, I believe it states, and I'm not going to give it word for word, but I believe it states that if we do have a concern, a question, and it might even be the preamble of the Constitution I'm talking about, but it states that if we ever have a concern with government, that we shouldn't have any problems with voicing our opinion. What they've done said, instead of having the people come down to our offices and challenging us on our turf, we're going ahead and give them this, a vote. Make it seem as though they have some opinion. Make it seem as though that they really do care about the concerns of the government and how we run them, because they really
That's
are
crazy,
running us.
Rick.
I know what you're saying. Hold on.
I agree with some of what you just said, but that's because we are an uneducated voter population.
Well, Tracy,
and
it started back in the
listen. 1700s. They've never wanted you to be educated, but what I'm saying to you is, in today's society, those of us who are American citizens need to wake up and smell the coffee and become educated about the process. Become educated about how it works.
As long as they dumb down, as long as society, as long as today's society dumbs down the social world we live in, because the social world we live in dictates how we live our lives, how we go and vote, how we go and spend our money. But that's the social world we live in. Society has made us so much adaptive to social world, social media, that we do whatever the social world says. Our status is whatever social world says it is. It's not what we are educatedly saying it is ourselves. It's what the social world says it is. So here, for example, something as small as me having a cell phone. Realistically, you can't afford a $70 a month cell phone bill. That's expensive. That's expensive. But most poor people in America have cell phones. Why? Because you're not somebody unless you fit into the social class and the social standards of this world. That's as simple as that. So your vote? Come on.
You
know it is.
I guess that's why they have Obama phones, sir, to end that.
But I just want to feel
you
like you belong.
Their phones.
They give you Obama phones to buy your vote, and they do
but
a good job.
But they also have prepaid cellular phones, too.
I want to respond with this gentleman.
That program started under the Bush administration.
It started under the Reagan administration with regular dial-up phones.
This cell phone thing is completely different than what we had under previous administrations. I have to say that. Because to qualify for services under a landline, it wasn't just that you got a medical card or you were receiving it, some type of assistance. You actually had to have a need for that type of service when you had a landline. Now,
right.
These cell phones, you qualify just because you're considered poor.
Just because you said so.
Oh,
you don't have to prove anything
for it. Yeah,
because
you don't have to prove you're poor.
Just because you said so. You don't have to prove anything.
You have to qualify for Medicaid or any other type government assistance benefit.
Right. Right.
So
you
can't
have
just go in and say, I'm poor and I want this phone.
Exactly. Everything goes on income.
Diva, you cannot talk on top of everybody.
I'm going to give you a little story. Give you a little story my grandfather gave me. Down in South Carolina, every voting day, the people would come around to the black people when they let them vote and give them a bottle of whiskey and tell them, you know, well, you vote for, you know, sheriff this or vote for that person, this, that, and other. And they'd let them go vote for who they knew they were going to vote for. Well, that doesn't change. The same people are doing the same things to you today, just in different ways. Now, Obama phones, food stamp program with relaxed qualifications to get them, and all of these things all fit in to what was put in as class warfare in this last election that they called Romney on the 47% thing, which was not what he was saying, but, of course, he was telling the truth either way. Right, it was a soundbite, and it killed him. But it's okay because I wasn't for Romney anyway. But once again,
you left something out, though, Jeff.
What did I leave out?
That in 2008, over a million people lost their jobs, and that continued into 2009.
Well,
it was a major suspicion of the economy that caused many people to need food stamps.
That's okay. That's okay, my friend. But once again, the relaxed standards caused a lot of people to get food stamps that didn't need them. Because Bush's unemployment rate never went above 5%. And so,
okay, listen. For what group, Jeff?
For
any group.
See, Jeff, you're making statements, but you're not bringing facts.
I'll say it like this.
Jeff,
black unemployment has always been high, but it's never been as high as it is right now.
Since 1960.
Right. It has never been as high as it is now. Yeah, you had a disparity in black and white unemployment. But as far as the overall employment rate goes, it was 5%, no higher. When the bubbles busted, when the banking and the housing market bubbled and toppled everything, that's what happened. Bush balanced this thing up after the effects. Hold on. Bush balanced this thing after 9/11 as best he could, whether he did right or wrong. I'm not answering. I can't say that right now. History will have to prove that point. Okay, I think he did a damn good job in keeping it going, but 9/11 almost destroyed your economy. But nobody wants to admit that. And then when he got so far and we couldn't get control of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and then the banking people were doing the stuff they were doing, boom, it all fell out the bottom.
Whose job is that to regulate that?
Well, that would be the job of the government to regulate why we had the housing housing market crash in the first place, and that wasn't conservative policy. That was progressive policy.
Whose job is it to regulate that? Who was in charge while this happened?
When it happened, Bush and them were in charge, but as I played on that, I was playing. Will you listen? Hold it. I will play for you tomorrow. I will play for you tomorrow.
You answered the question. You can play whatever tapes you want. The fact is this, is that the Bush administration was in charge when this happened.
No, they were not.
Hold on. Let me.
All right. Now you're going to make a point.
Hold on, guys. Wait a minute. Brown. This is where ignorance comes into effect.
Absolutely.
This is where ignorance.
Brown,
you guys can't even recognize a simple fact.
Listen to what I'm getting ready to say, and then I'll explain.
You don't
explain
have to
my...
explain it to me. I already know the answer. I lived through it.
You're not the only one on the phone, bro.
Sweetheart, listen. This is where ignorance comes in. The balances of government, no matter what Bush says, he can't do it without Congress.
Right.
Without Congress, he can't hold out. Yes.
Would that be
yes.
the same for Obama?
Absolutely.
That's why you have gridlock right now.
Why the hell always blaming everything on him?
Because hold on. Because that which he does, he doesn't hold accountable for. But again, you can't listen. The overreach of administration. But there are some things you cannot overreach on, and what President Obama went through is different than what Bush had gone through. But they tried to redo something about what was going on with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And with the housing crisis before it happened, and Maxine Waters and Barney Frank told him to pound salt.
Yes, they did. You can YouTube that and watch Maxine Waters. And watch Maxine Waters use these words. And the words were the outstanding job of Mr. Frank Raines.
Franklin Raines.
With Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And they argued that point. The whole housing market crash and economic problems happened well before Bush took office. That machine was already in motion and had a headlong steam like you wouldn't believe.
Because
Bush
was Fannie Mae
and Matt, if you look up and you can Google up, they almost paid their loan back to the government.
It was not about the loan. It was about regulation. And it was over-regulated.
I'm just saying now they almost... So, okay.
They did not pay any loans back. They didn't get any loans.
Listen, fake money is fake money. I can pay you. I can give Jeff a check, and he can write it into the letter saying that I paid him, and I tell him, don't cash the check. Listen to what I'm saying. You're looking. You're missing my point. And this is not about who's right and who's wrong. This is about the overreach of government. And the reason why they have – right now, you are looking at something that's going to – you know what's paying attention to Wall Street right now because it's on a rise. But when that bubble bursts, I promise you, and it's going to blow like never before. It's going to be like a whale and a blowhole.
Tracy, I want to make 2 points. Tracy, imagine if George Bush would have privatized Social Security and the stock market chain and fell.
He was never asking
to
privatize
the
Social Security.
Bill.
It wasn't the privatization of the whole Social Security
system.
Yes,
he was.
No, it was not.
To the stock market. But anyway, okay.
Sir, I got to interrupt you. You cannot.
And I
want to
make another point as a judge.
No, you got to wait, though, because you started something on something that's not true. George Bush never advocated privatizing Social Security. He advocated taking 5% of your Social Security and letting you invest it yourself. 5%. That means 95% would still be in the system as it was. You would be in great shape if you had done that because you would have had your money invested in what you wanted to invest it in or even in a 5% set aside a money market account that would have just been yours.
Right,
under your
market.
Control. Money market did not fail. The money market did not fail and still gave you a 2 to 3% at that time. The people
that lost money were the hedge funds.
Okay.
Which is a whole
and the bondholders.
And you have to understand General Motors, your blue chip stocks. And that's a whole nother conversation. Because
right.
They should have never gone down. Remember,
well,
you pay your bondholders before you pay your unions, and we paid our unions before we paid our bondholders. This
wow,
is a
you
game.
Guys really, you guys really don't understand anything about economics, basic
right.
stuff. I'm
yeah,
sorry,
it's easy.
You
I
don't.
Mean, economics is easy. But I just want to say something. See, you guys always talk about the welfare, but let's speak the facts. You never speak the facts. Over 60% of the people in America who are on welfare are working. That's a fact. 30% of them are on Social Security disability. Now, there's three ways you can get Social Security. Someone dies, you retire, or you get disabled. The rest, 7 to 8%, that's the ones that you're talking about that's selling food stamps. So, listen, if you're not going to pay, listen, if you're not going to give them a living wage and pay them hourly, listen, food stamps go on income. And I'm letting you, if the business is not going to pay them hourly and wages this, and let them pay cash for their food, the government's going to help them out. What you going to do, have them starving? So it's going to be a balance, and that's what you guys are not talking about. Most people on services are working factually, and it goes on income.
Listen. I'm trying to tell you, the reason why they are is because we're not making it to where you can get increase in pay because of overreach and overreach of our regulation. As a business owner, I can't pay you more.
Not true.
Right now, listen. What do you mean not true?
You have no historical facts that will lead you to that conclusion that the private sector on its own would raise wages to a living wage to meet inflation. No facts.
Listen, at McDonald's, I am not going to pay you a living wage. Don't ask for it. You're not getting it. That's crazy. But if I need an accountant, I'm going to pay the accountant and his secretary to do whatever they need to do to account their way so that I can be profitable.
Tracy,
the problem is
in the private sectors, in order to boost profit margins, what are the ways that private sector does that? One, decrease wages. Two, decrease production, the cost of production.
That's interesting because in this country, we seem to have this thing where we have the freedom to go where we wish to work. So if you're decreasing wages on somebody who's doing a good job for you and you want that to increase, the last thing you do is ditch their pay because they're going to go to your enemy, the person who's going up against you, and they're going
to
go work for them and make them more.
Hold on, Michigan.
A company that raised wages because they had to, and that is Henry Ford when he instituted the $5 day. He did that because he had 120% turnover in his factories, and he wanted to keep people there. Many, many times companies raise wages because they have to because of market forces.
Yeah.
Many times.
That's why most companies are running the jobs overseas.
CEOs, the reason companies are going overseas is taxes and regulation.
Because
if you do the cost analysis on it, so you throw in the transportation, you're only talking about pennies an hour difference between their labor and our labor. It's taxes and regulations.
Now, where'd you get that mess from?
Why do we have a massive exodus of manufacturing out of this country during the Bush administration?
Taxes and regulation.
During the Bush administration?
Brother-in-law works for
that's
the largest privately held corporation in the country.
Listen,
and they did a cost-benefit analysis, and it's pennies an hour difference to move a plant to China or have it here in Worcester, Ohio.
But didn't Bush cut taxes and laxed regulations? I mean, and they still moved, I'm confused.
No.
Manufacturing under Bush,
it
was a mad accident. There was a manufacturing service industry job.
But it was actually set up by Clinton.
The reason that argument doesn't stand is because when you do the research about what corporations are paying in corporate taxes, most of them have an average of about 10 tax attorneys on the payroll. So this bull crap about the corporations are moving because they're having to pay more taxes, they're wiggling around all of those tax laws.
Listen, sweetie, this is bigger than just the reason why they leave. You have to understand, we over-regulate. We regulate our way out of business, too.
Which costs money. It costs the corporations money when they're over-regulated.
Hold on. How can you come back with an argument the reason why corporations are not raising increases because of some regulations? Now, come on now. Is that a conservative argument?
Yeah.
I've never heard nothing like that in my life.
Who's
that?
You know why?
Because you ain't never been in business.
Hold up. When Walmart, listen, this is a fact. Walmart, out of 5 family members, Walmart personally, after taxes, they made $20 billion out of their personal income. If they would have took half of that and gave only out of that $20 billion, took $10 billion, they could have made every Walmart employee make $13.75 an hour. Factually.
So
instead of each of them making $5 million, they could have said, "Well, you know what? I'm gonna make $3 or $2 million." This is what they're personally making.
You know what? Hey, stop right there! I'm not in business to give you a freaking job. I'm in business to make that $20 billion.
It's my turn, gentlemen.
I'm not in nothing by myself. It's me. It ain't trying to do it by myself. But you do not have to work for me for $10 an hour.
You
go work for Costco. They pay more. So you turn your way to a little Costco and apply and go work for them. I'm not in business to give you a job.
Amen.
That's what the problem is with these people in this country. They think that.
Whoa.
Now you get in a place where you want to pay a salary. Well, you go pay your people whatever the hell you want to go pay them. But you don't make me have to some kind of I owe you. I owe you nothing. I'm not going to take the risk. Wait a minute. Let me finish.
I took the risk.
I started this business. I'm the one that put the blood, sweat, and tears to work 24 hours a day. Sorry about that. 24 hours a day to make it work, okay? And then you're gonna come along. You're gonna get the benefit of what I did because I can provide you a job. And then you're gonna tell me what I better pay you. You can hit the bricks, buddy. I don't need you. So you're gonna have to understand that because it's not gonna change.
No, Jeff, I understand you. And listen, I hear you, and I hear you very loud and clear. And I'm saying is what you're saying, there is nothing. Listen, I have a business, and my business have other business involved in my business. I have embedded systems. There's nothing in this world I can do by myself. When I'm successful, I guarantee you I'm going to need other people to make me successful. But I said, instead of making $5 billion, you could say I'm going to make $2.5 billion a piece.
Not going
to
do that.
Back to my employees.
I'm not.
I know why. Exactly.
Hold
because
on.
You guess
no,
what?
No, no,
because
sweetie,
of the
sweetie, sweetie.
Hold
on.
That's
the dilemma. That's the American dilemma.
You can do that, and then that's why I don't complain about people who get on food stamps then. Because guess what?
No. Listen.
So don't complain then.
No.
Keep your money. Don't complain.
This is not a complaint. What this is
you don't want to have a balance.
No, sweetheart. This is a reality. I'm not here to make you rich. You will never be rich working for somebody.
Listen, hold on. And guess what? Everybody who's going to be rich, I guarantee they're going to need somebody to help them and work for them. That's a fact. So he
that
can be stingy all he wants.
That is
exactly.
A fact.
You're right.
But not on your terms.
So when I said that if Walmart family would have, instead of making $20 billion per
year, you said it four times.
Don't
say it again, please.
Okay, all right. Okay, right.
They don't
point.
Care
exactly.
About that. You have to understand something.
And I know you
they're
don't
not in business to give you a job. They're
but
in business
cry.
To make that.
Don't cry about
Walmart is not crying. Walmart is doing fine, and not only that,
you
know what?
They have people like you to do all the crying for them.
Well, of course it is, and that's what they earned the right to do that, because they're the ones that created the system to work through.
Walmart doesn't have to cry because our society's in decline.
That's crazy.
In the meantime, our society is
all
in decline.
It was a joke. The pay for person for billionaires.
Listen, there is a way that people do business in this country to be successful. With my company, we have very little competition in the world. Very little. When I started working for my company, I worked for not a great wage. It was barely a living wage. And if I would have kept working at the level of that of that living wage, I would have still made the same money. I didn't. I went to the top. I learned how to do my job as perfectly as possible. I climbed up the ladder, and my boss paid me appropriately to keep me from the off chance that he might have of a viable competition step in and take me. I am somebody who he cannot lose, otherwise he loses production. That's why he pays me what I get paid. That's the way America works, people.
No, it's not.
I said that's the way America works, not the way it is.
Not how it works.
Oh, no, that is not how it works. Because if they can't do without you, they're going to. See, listen. My father told me a long time ago, he said, you want to open up your own business because then you can pay yourself what you know you're worth. When you work for somebody else, you only get paid what they think you're worth. And that is the truth.
Okay. I have a question for you. So what is every entrepreneur, you need somebody, at times you can work your business by yourself, but at times you're going to need someone to help you. What if you go and start looking for workers and everybody decides, well, no, I don't want to work for you. I want to go into business for myself. What does that do for your businesses and other
There'll always be people that don't want to take the responsibility and will be willing to work for a wage.
Absolutely.
Except, but my point is, they keep saying, just start your own business. Not everybody is capable of starting
their
own business.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But you should.
Everybody can be an entrepreneur.
Everybody can be to a certain degree. You can always find something to make a couple dollars extra with. I mean, you know, there's tons of product out here that Michigan, I agree with you. You're talking about making a living necessarily, but I'm saying this. If I wasn't making enough living on my job, I did stuff like sell Shaklee vitamins. I did stuff like sell a long distance from Sprint and things like that.
Shaklee's excellent products. My mother sold
it. It's a pretty good product. Yes, they are. But here's the bottom line. I had to do that myself because somebody didn't think I was worth paying more than what I needed to earn, so I had to go earn enough to make myself earn more. I played in bands. I cut grass. I did all kind of things. And I'm talking about I cut grass when I was in my 20s.
I don't think that spirit is absent within the populace. Maybe you're saying it's not prevalent enough amongst the general populace, but that spirit that you have, the go-getter spirit, that's not absent.
I don't say it's absent, but it's not employed and it's not emphasized like sit back and let the government take care of you is. And that's my problem with it. You went from one extreme to the other. We're not going extremes. We're talking about mindsets.
Right, but just because someone doesn't have the mindset of being an entrepreneur and selling a product and doing something like that doesn't necessarily mean they have the mindset of living off the government.
Let the government take care of it.
Right.
My father was born in 1923.
Everybody can't start their own business, Jeff. If everybody starts their own business, who's going to be the customers?
Everybody will be. It depends on what your product is. Everybody could be your
Everybody's not going to start a business.
And everybody doesn't need to start their own business either.
Right.
See, that's the other thing. Some people are making enough money by what they do daily, and they're happy. But my point is there are some people that aren't making enough, and there are hustles that they can do. But they're not going to hustle anymore because they have taken the hustle out of the business. We're going to do this again tomorrow. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Quickly.
If you remove government overreach, as far as you want to remove it, do you believe that you will have private sector overreach? Yes or no?
No.
I think that you'll always have the threat of it from either side.
Who said no?
I said no, because they regulate them, themselves through. They regulate themselves through.
No,
we will talk about this tomorrow, gentlemen. Gentlemen, we're out of time. We're out of time for the day, ladies and gentlemen. We thank you for listening to Morning with Tracy and Friends. We're going to be back here tomorrow morning talking about this. We'll lead off with some business things that whoever wants to kick it in, you know, and see what's going on with it. But right now, we're going to see you later. God bless you. Thanks for the conversation. Very lively and spirited as always. We love you, callers. God bless. Friends.
Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk.
I'd be damned if I do this again. Hello?
I bet you you will.
I'm going to try not to.
Oh, wow.
They are so...